about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Fellow comrades in mediocrity, I want you to listen very carefully.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I think they're doing it. I think they're doing it hard.
Go jump in a Great Lake 200.
On November 10th, 1975, the Edmund Fitzgerald sank in this largest lake in the Western Hemisphere. Kevin,
what is Superior?
Yep.
You're a f***ing asshole. I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald, you f***ing freak.
Haven't you got anything better to do than harass the elderly?
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
I would, but I don't want to.
Live for nothing or die. For something.
Would not recommend it.
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
And now.
Is it still rape if you're surprised?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 5:31.
And we're taking your telephone calls for the Thursday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Here's the number, toll free, as usual, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, I know you hate the facts. I know you hate to have facts get in the way of your opinion.
I don't need them. That's the thing. I can operate outside of facts.
They released a new survey yesterday, a study, research from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, where they did crash tests on automobiles, specifically looking for which cars had the strongest roofs, which I guess is the most important thing in many types of car accidents, because that determines whether you get crushed to death or not, whether the roof can survive a crash.
Right.
Well, the smart car came in second in the survey of the strongest roof.
Did?
Yeah, it's like a tank.
It according to the study, the smart car withstood a force of 5.5 times its weight on the roof during the test.
Okay.
Well exceeding the minimum required.
But hang on. Let's just look at the whole picture. So you're saying if something falls out of the sky and hits the roof of your car,
I don't think that's what they're thinking.
Okay. Well, what are they
thinking? Cars roll over.
I see. Or
you don't get crushed.
Oftentimes cars do end up on top of each other. I have those all the time.
Yeah.
But
what about from the side or the front
from
or the back?
The side, right?
What about that?
That's not what yesterday's test was about. It was just about the roof. I mean, we've seen other tests about the other side. I don't have them in front of me, but I just thought it was interesting that this one came out yesterday, because I think that information would have been a surprise to a lot of people, because they would expect, you know, it's like an aluminum can. They would expect it would crush right up, but apparently not. Five and a half times its weight.
No, it will. It'll crush. That's what you don't realize. Its weight, by the way, is 3.5 pounds, so it can withstand 15 pounds. Big whoop.
That's a good point.
It's not a big deal.
I just found it interesting. I may have to get a smart car.
I would love to see you in a smart car. All 6'8" of you.
I just feel that the Mini Cooper is just too big.
Trying to cram yourself. Being when he flies, when he travels, and he comes to another city, he always gets the smallest rental car he can.
That's true.
I don't understand it. And also, if you know there are 4 or 5 people and we're all going to jump in a car and go someplace, he calls the back seat. Calls it actively and like fights everyone for it, because he wants to sit in the smallest space.
There's more. It's more fun to drive a small car. It's easier to park a small car. It just gives you more options. That's all.
But you're 6'6".
Yeah, I mean that's
doesn't
correct.
Your head hit the top?
Oh, I would love to see you drive in a smart car. They'd have to cut a hole in the roof of it so that your head could stick out.
That's the only thing is that's disappointing at my height is there are some cars that they are too small for me. It is uncomfortable. That's my fear with some of these new, like the Tesla and things like that. I'd love to test drive one, but I'm worried that they're too small. I may not even be able to.
I don't think you could get in that.
But the Mini Cooper, for instance, has tons of room, because you put the seat back to the back seat. I mean, you basically give up your back seat if you put the seat all the way back.
Right.
So that is tons of leg room. But I don't know what the case is with something
Please get a smart car. Please.
I'd love to.
To see you driving around town in a smart car would just be the end all for me.
And you can put the smart car in the glove compartment of the Mini Cooper. That way, if the Mini Cooper breaks down, you can just reach in and pull out a backup vehicle.
That's true.
That's what I like about it.
You could keep it in your pocket.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Well, another day for you to get your free tickets for the Epicenter 09 happening this weekend, presented by Rogue. It's going to be at the Pomona Fairplex on Saturday. How about Linkin Park? How about Tool, Alice in Chains, Wolfmother, Hollywood Undead, Atreyu? All that just for being on the air for Kevin DeBeans' What to Do Nephew.
All right, let's begin with Ileana. Good morning, Ileana.
Good morning.
I see.
So you want to go ahead?
Oh, it's rushing to get to it. I see here that you want to get your husband a striper for his birthday.
A stripper? Yeah.
Oh, stripper.
Two, I don't know.
Oh, no. It says striper here. Are you sure you're looking for a stripper?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so okay. Stripper. Okay.
All right. We were misinformed. Go ahead.
Which birthday is it? Does it matter? Strange question. Okay. I withdraw.
You asked yourself both questions.
Yeah. When is his birthday?
August 23rd.
August 23rd, so you only have 3 days.
I know.
Stripper for his birthday.
I don't know. It doesn't seem that hard, right?
Yeah, I mean, no. That's what she said. Aren't there places online that you can find that easily?
I don't know. They all look, I don't know, maybe if you guys knew of a certain place that has good strippers, because sometimes they send those funky-looking ones.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I have to say, anytime you're getting one brought to you, you run that risk. There's nothing you can do about that. I mean, if you want the creme de la creme strippers, you're going to have to go to the Spearmint Rhinos or some of the places in Vegas. I mean, when you're getting a service brought to you, you have to toss the dice.
Hmm.
Is that code? Toss the dice?
It's a position, yeah. Hey, why not take him out to a strip club so that he can enjoy 20 strippers that night instead of just having one? Or did you have something beyond dancing in mind?
No, you know what? That would probably be a better idea.
Okay. Well, there you go.
This is going to be a great night for him. I can feel
like it.
Yeah, take him out someplace, and then maybe you can talk someone into coming back to the house with you.
Oh, yeah, that'll be cool, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Wow.
I would be worried about him leaving her for the stripper, by the way, just based on what I've heard from Ileana.
It sounded like she was going to do something cool, but she seems angry.
Yeah, she does. I don't think she really wants to do any of this
Maybe
stuff.
Don't do any of it is the answer, though. All right, let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
Hey, did you guys see the special on Fox last night about the Octomom?
No, I could not watch less about her.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the same boat, but I couldn't help but watch it.
Okay.
This lady, this is a circus. She couldn't remember her kids' names.
Yeah.
She was introducing the kids and calling them the wrong name. I think one.
Well, they probably all look alike. I mean, don't all kids at like 3 months old look pretty much the same?
Yeah, plus she has 14. So
just 14.
Help. Right.
Yeah.
I had a headache just listening to all the ruckus in the background.
Yeah, it was just a lot of screaming?
A lot of screaming.
Yeah.
They're trying to do, I don't know, who knows what for Mother's Day. It was a mess.
So what was the special? It was like 2 hours, right? And it was just following her around, or what was it?
Yeah, basically just following her around and all this unseen footage. And, I caught the end of it, but the part I caught was just crazy.
There's a lot of times where they say, oh, unseen footage, previously unseen footage. Most of the time, that's because that footage sucks ass.
Right, exactly.
So nobody would want to see it.
Well, exactly. I'm very confused in this case, because unseen footage from what? This is the first television special there's been about her.
All of
it is unseen footage, really.
Yeah, that's true. What, Mike?
There was footage from, it looked like people from a cell phone from like a neighbor across the street.
Oh, good.
I guess she called the cops because one of the kids swallowed a solution from the sink or something.
Right.
It was just
Mike, you are a master of the details. That's what I like about you. You are my soulmate.
I was trying to figure out why Mike would have watched that show, but my guess is he doesn't know how to use the remote control.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Augie. Hi, Augie.
Hi, hey, what it do, baby boo?
What it do,
nephew?
What's going on?
My topic was on Dodger Stadium on Tuesday night. They had a woman singing America the Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And she was singing it, and then she forgot the words and started la-la-laing through the song.
I love that.
And on Jumbotron, it had the words, but I guess she got so nervous that she started just la-la-laing through the song, and everybody was laughing.
Do you think she didn't see the words on the screen?
I just think she was nervous.
Well, I know, but however nervous you might be, if you start to forget the words, you would be glued to that screen, I would think.
I thought so, too, but she just kept la-la-laing through the whole
awesome.
Song. I was like, oh, my God.
You're talking about Tuesday night? Was that the kind of hot brunette, almost like Asian-looking chick?
Yeah, she was
Filipino?
Smoking hot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. On TV, they didn't have... I watched the game on TV. They didn't show her forgetting the words, but they did show her completely off key. I mean, it was it was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
King of Mexico says it was Philippine Appreciation Night or something
like that. She was scorching
hot.
She
was a bad singer, too, but there was a period during the song where she just started la-la-laing through it.
Oh, there's got to be video of that someplace. I love that.
I'm sure there is.
I love that. That is so just, she just wants to, you know, you've seen those commercials, want to get away?
Yeah.
That's her. La-la-ing. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. You think so? You think they would have video of that someplace?
I hope so.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Hey, let's squeeze in Rose real quick on line six, and then we have to get to our very, very busy Kevin and Bean show today.
Hey, Rose.
Hey, what's going on? What do, baby boo?
What do, Rose? Yeah,
what can we do for you?
I'm all about the booze. I had my first lesbian experience
yesterday.
Yeah!
Oh, really? Congratulations. Okay. All right. How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, I had a friend come over. She wanted to watch True Blood because she missed the Sunday episode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I was... there with a bottle of wine, and next thing you know, we're rolling around the ground, and I'm doing my own la-la-la-la-la.
All right, let me ask you this. Had you thought of it before, or did it really just come out of the blue that night? Something came over you?
It just came out over me, because we had been roommates before, and she, for 2 years, and nothing ever happened, and she just, like, she moved out about 3 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, she came over for a True Blood episode, and I'm all like, what is going on here?
Isn't that interesting?
Did she start putting the moves on, or did you?
I was on the, she was laying on the couch, I was laying on the floor, and we ended up on the floor. So
right.
I guess she made the move.
Okay, so she made the move. I like that you're guessing.
You want to go eat some tuna?
So was there a moment where you both realized it was going to happen? Did somebody say something or do something and you both thought, well, it's on?
It was just honestly, I don't even know what happened. It just started going on and I'm all like... whoa.
That's what happens with True Blood, that's it.
Rose, was your friend lesbian?
No, that's the whole thing.
So neither of you were.
I'm going to suggest yes, she was.
Well, she's... yeah.
And I'm going to suggest so are you.
I'm guessing so.
All right.
See, we talk about this all the time, but this is just more proof that women are like a drink away from a lesbian experience. It's not the same as with guys. No guys get together to watch TV and end up making out that are straight. It just doesn't happen.
I don't know what happened. We started making out.
It was crazy.
All right.
All right.
Investment I made.
Last question for you, Rose, then we really do have to go, is what will happen next? Will you guys continue to do that, or do you think it was just a one-time deal, or what?
We've got plans to go to the Kumbash today, so I don't know what happens after that, so we'll see.
Is the Kumbash part of the vagina? I'm not familiar with that term.
The casino.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Congratulations.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Lovely new couple.
Sure.
I only paid for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
That was surprising. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. Bean will not pick up hot hitchhikers. Now, I haven't seen a hitchhiker in 10 years.
There's not many around here.
People don't hitchhike. It just seems like it's gotten too dangerous.
Yeah.
Whatever. Bean lives in the state of Washington, and apparently they hitchhike all over the place up there. And there's a hot chick who is hitchhiking, and Bean drives past her.
Yeah, you've seen her more than once, right, Bean?
I have, and I can't lie. I'm telling you, I do die a little bit inside every time I go on past. I hate it, but I just feel like it's not. There's too much potential downside in picking her up. I feel bad about it because she just wants a ride.
Right. Yeah. And you have a ride to give her.
What's the downside if she just wants a ride?
Well, we're going to talk about it later on. There are lots of potential things that could go wrong with that. Let's face it. I do live in the cereal capital of the world. Remember that.
Serial killer capital.
Yeah, capital of the world.
Yeah.
No, cereal. Very popular up here.
Oh, that would be awesome if Bean got kidnapped by a hitchhiker.
Covered in cereal.
That would be awesome. We also have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Too many good animal stories we got to get to and explain and tell you what's going on. Psycho Mike and Bean are in the middle of a Twitter fight.
It's on.
It's
on.
It's
so on.
It's been on, and they are serious.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to BJ Novak. He, of course, is on The Office. He's also in Inglourious Basterds.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk to him. And we're going to talk about secrets that you kept from your friends and family. And we have Epicenter 09 tickets. So that's all fun. Coming up this morning. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next. That, of course, is brand new Muse on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 3 minutes till 6 o'clock. 553.
The big hand. Where's the big hand, Kevin?
Well, how'd we teach you? The big hand is on the 53.
Oh, never mind.
By the way, that was the new Muse. Speaking of new music, how about new Weezer for you next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show? Just world premiered a few days ago from their forthcoming album due October 27th. New Weezer on the way. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's going on?
Big doings in the world of DVDs. Apparently, Warner Brothers and 20th Century Fox and Universal Studios have banded together and decided that as of October the 1st, they will no longer provide new DVDs to folks like Redbox or Netflix for a month after they're released.
A month?
Really?
Why?
Here's the thing. They feel as if Netflix and Redbox, familiar with Redbox at all?
No,
they're popping up now all over 7-Elevens. If you see these new kiosks outside of 7-Eleven, you can rent a movie there for a buck a night.
Oh, so it's like a vending machine?
It's like a vending machine, Exactly. They feel that it's cutting into their DVD sales, because why would people buy the new DVDs at a Best Buy or via Amazon.com or something when they can just rent it from Netflix or one of these Redboxes?
That makes sense.
For a song. So they want to put a one-month moratorium on new product and wait to deliver those DVDs to those companies after 28 days to give them a chance.
And their rub is that it's too cheap, right? They don't mind the Blockbusters and the Hollywood Videos and places like that because they think it costs a little bit more. Is that why?
Yeah. So they want to put a 28-day hold on all the new material to give people a window of exclusivity where they can purchase the DVD if they want to before renting it. Just an attempt to keep their profits up for sales of DVDs, because apparently they plunged about 22% in the last quarter.
Hmm.
And I think largely because of these new Redbox kiosks, which are about 18,000 of them now across the country. So
they're everywhere. You mentioned 7-Eleven. They're Target stores, McDonald's. I mean, it's just crazy.
Redbox is going to take them to court.
Excellent.
To see whether they can control the supply of their product or not.
The economy must have something to do with that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I mean, you buy it because you want to watch it over and over. You rent it because you want to watch it once. And sometimes after you rent it, you buy it.
The people who rent it aren't always going to buy it.
Yeah.
And won't necessarily just because it's not available for another 28 days.
But the cost of DVDs is such that you can take a gamble for $15 in a movie you think you'll like.
Yeah.
But if you had that decision to make versus paying a buck for it to watch it, you know, in a night, you probably won't do that.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, it makes sense that the studios would like to capitalize on any person who has that impulse that they really would like to own it for at least a month before they put it out.
Sure.
With the other sources. So we'll wait and see what the courts have to say about that. You guys were mentioning earlier the Nadia Suleiman special last night, Octomom.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes, unseen footage before you've never seen it, and then now you've seen it.
Right.
I think it was the name of the title. I don't know if you mentioned the beginning of the show, though, where she apologized.
To
her kids and herself. She said at the beginning of the special that her decision has screwed up her own life and the life of her kids as well.
Good.
Okay.
She finally has made that realization.
Good now.
Now.
Good.
Now that she's got 8 kids, 14 Excellent. Kids that are depending on her for everything.
Great.
Did they ask her if she's likely to have more children?
They didn't. They didn't bring that up. But if she is, I think we need to hit her with some sort of blowgun.
Yeah.
Oh.
Frank Dart.
It's got a...
take her down.
It's got some sort of birth control mechanism in it. Samantha Ronson, who, of course, is the on-again, off-again girlfriend of Lindsay Lohan, reportedly staged an intervention for her redheaded girlfriend. Lindsay's back on the party train.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Sam's trying to help her out. When asked about this, however, Lindsay Lohan said that any story regarding her going back into treatment is just plain weird. I know. Why would we think you'd want to get some help for a substance abuse problem? Our bad.
Who says just plain weird?
Because any story about me going back into rehab is just plain weird.
It's either true or false. It's not weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Could be weird.
Nope.
Let's take a look at the world of reality television, shall we? The Michael Jackson brothers.
What?
Michael Jackson's brothers, Jermaine and Tito and Freddie and Andrew and
Paul,
Ringo.
Yep.
They are all getting their own reality show. A one-hour reality show on A&E, the Jackson brothers.
But what do they do?
Lisa, we will watch them try to overcome the grief of dealing with Michael's death.
Wow.
Yes. And we will watch them in their daily lives to see how the Jacksons live.
These are 60-year-old guys with no career, right?
That's who they're talking about pitching for the show.
Pretty much.
They're not pitching it. It's a one-hour pilot. It's already done for A&E, and apparently it's got a green light to be made into a series.
When will that be on TV, Ralph?
No word exactly when it will start to air, but it looks like it's a done deal.
Unbelievable.
That's going to be Brothers. A crappy show.
I show Miss Michael. I show Miss Michael, too. We'll be right back with the Jackson Brothers. And speaking of reality shows, just when you think America's about as low as it gets, and that our reality shows are crap, and we're contributing to the demise of society as we know it.
I think all that's true.
It could be worse.
Okay.
We could be living in Brazil.
Brazil.
Brazil. Apparently, the host of a local TV crime show there is accused of ordering 5 killings so he could be first on the scene of the killings and be the first person to get footage of the dead bodies to boost his show's ratings.
Wow. Awesome.
He has hired people to kill people so that he could be the first guy on the scene of the murders.
So he shows up first. He's got his cameras. He's got the scoop.
Yep. He hosts a local TV crime show in Brazil, and police have tied him to a hitman who has been ordered by this host and producer of the show to kill folks so he could be the first one to get the story.
Wow. Well, you remember Robert Stack from Unsolved Mysteries. He killed a ton of people on that program.
No, he didn't.
Nope, that was
pretty
not
sure he did. Mm-mm. I think he did a story about some two Yahoo DJs who
those guys were evils.
Said a guy killed somebody.
But didn't.
Got into big trouble.
Clearly didn't, though.
But that happened.
Right, but it's not like this guy who's actually going out and killing and then covering his own stories.
That's true. Could be worse. That's the next step. I think you guys are going to start doing that, too.
Yeah.
Start murdering.
Hadn't thought of it, but.
Okay. The murder button, you know, you're just one step away now from actual murder.
All right.
It is funny because we've heard a number of stories over the years about firefighters that do that, that want to be the hero, want to be, you know, save the day on putting out a fire and they'll start it. I mean, that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
But
this guy isn't showing up at the last minute and saving lives.
Right.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Just showing up when the corpses are warm.
What happened here 5 seconds ago?
Didn't anybody wonder, how does this guy know where all these murders are going to happen?
How did they catch him? Is that how they started suspecting that he was there too soon?
I thought it was just a little coincidental. He kept showing up when the bodies were warm.
Literally,
shot him in one scene. He showed up and a guy was shot and the smoke was still coming out of the wound on the body. That's a little too quick.
It does seem like if he's dropping off the hitman and then just going around the block and coming back, it just seems like that's too close.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer-actress Demi Lovato from Camp Rock over there on Disney, of course. She is 17 years old today.
Oh.
Yeah. Our buddy Monique Powell from Save Ferris celebrates her 34th birthday.
What the hell is she doing now?
I don't know, but I would like her to sing more.
Yeah,
because
she's great.
She has a great voice, and it was very entertaining, especially live. Great performer.
They were great.
Amy Adams, who's currently starring in the popular Julie and Julia, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Is 35 years old.
Is she
today.
The cook or the blogger about the cook?
She's the blogger.
Oh, wow, that's great.
James Marsters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is 47 years old. Kevin's favorite journalist, weatherman Al Roker, is 55 years old today. Robert Plant, legendary lead singer of legendary band Legendary Led Legendary Zeppelin, is 61 years old today. And Fred Durst.
What?
Celebrates his 39th birthday today. He, of course, lead singer for Limp Bizkit and Massive Tool.
Drama queen.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Weezer on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 22 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Is Weezer mixing it up there? We like the songs that end with hate. Is theirs end with woo? Is that what I just heard? Woo!
It might, yeah. It might have a woo there.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about Inglourious Basterds, the new movie from Quentin Tarantino. I think Mr. T himself is going to be here next week, but we have one of his actors, BJ Novak. You also know him as Ryan from The Office on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we've got to talk about a guy who emailed us a few days ago with something that I think will lead us into a fascinating topic. And I guess, Kevin, you've either spoken with him or know what's going on with him this morning.
Yes. Well, Alex tried to get a hold of him and did talk to him.
Okay.
So do you want to tell the story first, and then I'll tell you what happened?
Sure.
Okay.
This guy wrote to us and said he had an interesting situation going on where he got into some trouble with stealing a car. He was in jail for a year, okay? He was in the Army or Marines or something when he stole the car. They sent him to prison for a year. His family never knew about it. He told them he was on deployment. And I guess from time to time, when you're in prison, you know, you can still make a phone call or something. So he probably was like, yeah, it sure is hot down here at Fort Hood, or whatever it was he was saying.
God.
He was in jail for a year, and nobody ever knew about it because he was in the military, and he was able to kind of cover his tracks that way. And we thought, how interesting is it to find out the stuff that you've been able to hide for that long? Stuff like that that your friends and family don't even know about.
Jail for a year, though.
Secret lives is always fascinating.
Sure am having a hard time out here in Tikrit, I'll tell you that. Sure is hot. I'm getting shot at.
Oh, and
from a jail.
Lisa, who was the very popular journalist that died a couple years ago that turned out had a whole other family in Montana for 25 years or something, and nobody ever knew his wife and everybody back in New York?
Kids.
It was Charles Kroll. Charles Kroll.
Yeah.
I mean, a whole other
family.
That's a secret life right there, when you can keep something going for decades and nobody knows about it.
So Alex told this dude that we want to talk to him today, and he said, yeah, I told him I was overseas. I was deployed. And then she said, you know, we'd like to talk at 6:20 if that's possible. And the guy said, oh, you know what? I'm going to be driving.
I don't believe anything he says
right
now.
And so Alex says, well, we could talk to you on the phone while you drive. And his response was, I'm going to be driving.
Yeah, okay.
So at that point, we realized that we're going to just move on.
I guess the cat's not out of that bag yet.
Right. It sounds like it really did happen. Like he really was in jail, all that. But he doesn't necessarily want to go on the air and talk about it.
Right.
We are going to take your calls with secrets that you kept from your family and friends. The bigger, the better. We have an employee here at the radio station that would like to keep his or her identity secret. So we have put them in front of a voice changer to tell us a story that they hid from their family.
Am I going to be able to figure out who this person is, or is it going to be a mystery to even me?
You'll have to tell me if you recognize. Hello, secret employee.
Hello? How are you?
That's Kat. That's Kat Corbett.
I don't think so.
Without the voice changer.
All right, mystery employee, the topic on the table, and we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about your secret lives, the things that you did that nobody knows about, or virtually nobody knows about. You may have let one or two into your confidence, but almost nobody in your friends or family circle knows about it. We want to hear from you, 1-800-520-1067. What happened to you, mystery employee?
Well, when I was away at college, I got in a fist fight at a frat party and ended up getting charged with assault with a deadly weapon and put in jail. I didn't have enough money to pay the bail, enough money for an attorney, so I just stayed in jail for 22 days before someone, a witness, came forward and confessed that it was self-defense on my part, and then I was released. But I never let anybody know in my family or my friends that I actually spent 23 days in prison.
It was for real self-defense?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
You know, what was me being a big Philadelphia Eagles fan, I'm used to violence, and I hate tattoos on women,
right?
And I do a lot of mobile DJing,
right?
Okay,
sure.
So he's trying to spread the blame around a little bit, so we think it's everybody except for the one person that it's not, that now everybody can figure out.
What?
I think I got it now.
Are you out of your mind? As the executive producer of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, it's Alex. Okay,
right. I'm hurt by that.
So 23 days, and if those witnesses hadn't come forward.
Yeah, what would have happened?
You would
to you?
Still be there.
I would have been most likely found guilty.
Wow.
In trial, and I would have been really, really screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Figuratively and literally.
And literally. Right?
Oh, my God.
So were you away at school, and that's how it was not that mysterious to say your family that they didn't see or hear from you because they wouldn't have anyway?
Correct. Gotcha. I was at Chapman College.
Went
to school.
Well, that's where our producer Alex went.
Is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Thank you very much, mystery employee.
Yeah,
I appreciate the story. So it can be prison. It could be maybe you had a job that you were too embarrassed to tell people about, so they didn't know. Maybe you were a drug addict for 15 years and nobody knew about it.
People get married and don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Well, that happens.
Yeah.
That happens.
So there's any. Any number of things that you would have reason to want to keep. There are people, I've met people who have smoked their whole lives and their parents don't know.
Oh, well, those parents are just losers. Because can't you just smell that on their clothes and everything else?
Yeah, usually.
So.
What kind of loser?
But they go to extraordinary lengths to hide things like that,
right.
You know?
Let's talk to Steve before the break, because Steve has an amazing thing that he has been able to keep from his family. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. What was the secret that you kept from your family?
The secret from my family is that I was in war for about 7.5 months in Afghanistan during 9/11. And my family was under the impression that first I was on vacation, and then I had to do some training involved with the service. So I was in, they thought I was here in the States for 7.5 months.
No kidding.
Why didn't you tell your family that you were in Afghanistan?
Well, it's not that I was like embarrassed by it. Just my mother would have been absolutely devastated that I was involved in 9/11. And
Wait a minute.
Doesn't make you involved in 9/11.
Let's clarify. Were you involved in 9/11 first? I take for granted you mean the response to 9/11.
Correct.
Yes, okay.
So
all right,
then
the follow-up question is, when you were fighting in Afghanistan, were you fighting for us or against us?
Another good question.
It was for us.
For us. Okay.
For us. Okay.
Identify us.
America.
America. Okay.
So,
right.
So why, when you got back, didn't you say, hey, Mom, I didn't tell you because I knew you'd be scared, but I've just been in Afghanistan and I'm fine?
Well, to this day, they had no idea that I was part of the initial strike with when the whole 9/11 thing happened. To this day, it's kept secret. They don't know anything about me being over there.
Oh.
So I don't get why you would keep that a secret. I still don't understand. Because if
I
for
understand
no other reason,
why
the,
during.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, during, of course. But the amount of poon you get coming back from Afghanistan with that story, it seems like it'd be worth. I'd get that tattooed on my forehead. Yeah, just got back from saving the world, bitch.
I have no problem trying not to complete strangers, but something like I didn't want to keep from my mother. I tried to keep Iraq from her, except for she got the phone call for me to come back to base when I was on leave. So I just don't want her to know about me being involved with dangerous activity, even though I was a Marine.
Wow, look at you.
This is weird.
Protecting
for a Marine, by the way, you've got a lot of mommy issues.
Steve, I have to ask, you Mexican?
Yes, I am.
I knew it.
Why? Why do you ask that?
Because anything is better than having to deal with the amount of over-worrying your mother will do when you have a Mexican mom.
Right.
Anything.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that.
You'd be willing to risk anything than have to deal with her nagging you, coming to visit you in the middle of the night, bring you food, check on you, make sure you're okay. It's just so over the top.
He didn't want to see her in Afghanistan bringing him food.
Honey!
Hey,
honey, I have food. I have sandwiches, honey.
Hey, Psycho Mike, where were you? We were just talking to a mystery employee with a story.
I was right here in the back of the
studio.
He
was here the whole time.
Yeah, he was right here.
All right, Steve, thank you for your service, and thank you very much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wonder if he's going to have to deny this phone call to his friends and family now.
Jeff, you must hold on.
Yes.
Mike, you must hold on. Oh, Mike already dropped. Come on!
Call back.
He can call back. He can call back.
Jimmy, you hold on. We have a lot of these calls, and we're going to take them next. 1-800-520-1067.
All right, right now we're talking about secrets you have kept from your friends and family. Seems like everyone's got some. Some are bigger than others, we're finding out on the phones here this morning.
Well, the first guy we talked about was in jail for a year.
Yeah.
And told him he was overseas in the Army. And then the next guy we talked to was in the Army overseas and told him that he wasn't.
That's right.
So that's kind of weird. So let's start with Jeff, who's been holding. Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Please, I can't even believe that this is true. What secret did you keep from your family and friends?
I've kept from my family and friends, or at least from my family, that I've done gay porn for the past 18 months.
Yeah. Okay.
I would keep that, too, from my family and friends.
Right, but in this internet age, how do you not have a friend or a family friend who sees you and, you know, emails a clip to your parents?
Friends do know, family has no idea, and the real kicker is that I work with my family, so every time I have to do filming or a shoot, I have to call in sick, fly out on the night after work, and then come back early in the morning and drive to work confirmed I'm filming.
Isn't it only a matter of time, though, that what Kevin described is going to happen where somebody who knows your family is going to see you?
Well, one of the things that really was funny that happened is I was booked on a flight to fly out to San Francisco to do it, and my uncle works for an airline, and he happens to be gay also.
Right.
And he called me up, and he's like, what are you going to San Francisco for? And I told him, oh, I was going for a wedding or whatever. And he's like, why would so-and-so from such-and-such studio, because he knows of the gay part, be booking your tickets to San Francisco.
So he found
like,
out.
Oh.
Wow.
And he's like, they're like, well, we won't tell your mom as long as we get autographed copies. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Right.
That's a little awkward.
No, not a bit.
Hey, this is an off-the-topic question, but do they make, we always think of the San Fernando Valley in Southern California being the home of porn. Is a lot of the gay porn done in San Francisco?
Yeah, a good majority of the major studios are done in San Francisco.
How about that? All right. Well, good luck with all that. Thanks for the call, Jeff. We appreciate it.
I wonder if he's ever going to tell them, because you're right. They're going to find out.
Yeah, I suppose.
Let's talk to Brian. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Unless they don't have a lot of friends and family that are gay, maybe. You know, maybe they just run in completely different circles from anyone who, I don't know, it seems unlikely to me that you can get away with it forever.
Yes. I mean, it seems like that's a big enough deal that someone would know someone who would, you know, I don't know. That seems impossible to hide. Brian, hi.
Hello.
Hello.
What's the secret that you kept from your friends and family?
Well, during the week, I actually have a normal job. I work as a veterinary anesthetist. But on the weekend, mm-hmm. I am a massage therapist at a nudist swingers lifestyle.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow. So you work with dogs during the week and you massage them on the weekend.
See
what he did there?
See, because... Let me ask you this question, Brian. I mean, what's your fear if friends and family find out that's what you're doing? What's the downside for them, for you telling them?
I brag to my friends, but my family is very Republican and religious.
Right.
Yeah, that swingers thing doesn't fly with them.
Yeah, and they would say that I am going to burn in hell.
But if you brag to your friends, how long is it going to be before somebody says, hey, I'm not supposed to tell you this, so don't tell anyone else, but you'll never believe what I heard about Brian.
Well, last week I was up there massaging naked women,
mm-hmm.
and my boss showed up.
Your boss showed up?
Yes.
At the nudist colony?
At the nudist colony.
That's fantastic.
Did you know your boss was a nudist?
No.
Did you give him a massage?
But a swinger.
A swinger as well.
Well, I imagine you both have a secret to keep now.
Yeah, except for she's not as discreet about it as I am.
Oh, yeah. Well, this house of cards is tumbling down, my friend. You might as well start getting used to how you're going to splain this one.
Yes, and our boss, which is the big guy, apparently is very conservative, and I'm a little worried at this point.
Do you need us to call your family and your employers and just smooth everything over?
Break the news.
Is that the service that we provide?
All right. Let me ask you one more question, Brian. I'm glad you called. This is fascinating. But we've had a long-standing debate about the swingers parties on this program. We want to hear from you, a guy with recent experience. What percentage of the people at the swingers club do you want to see naked, or do you think others want to see naked versus you're forced to see them naked?
9%.
How much?
9%.
9%
are good looking.
Are hot.
Yeah.
Not even 10%. You can't even go. All right. 9%.
All right.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
You really want to see them.
That is not where you want to be a therapist then either, doing massages.
No, it's not. All right. Thank you for the call. Wendy emails, guys, I was married right after leaving my current boyfriend. I kept it a secret from my friends and family until just before I gave birth to my second baby. We'd already been married for more than a year at that point. How about that? Secret marriage. All right, let's close with Paul real quick. He's on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Paul, thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Hey, so I was with my ex-girlfriend I was actually living with her for 8 months.
Okay.
Before I told my parents because they knew she was a stripper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait. Your parents knew she was a stripper. When did they find that out?
It was actually first early on before I started dating her. You know, some friends had said something, and then... kind of just along the line, I started dating her, and then they had known it, and then you know, I'd moved out supposedly, you know, with some friends.
Did they know you were dating her and just didn't know you were living together, or they didn't even know you guys were a couple?
They knew I was seeing her for a little bit, and then they were kind of like, yeah, I don't think it's such a good idea. And then they knew I was kind of dating her while I moved out, so they'd always ask, like, oh, you still dating that stripper girlfriend?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know,
in a really approving way?
Well, my dad was kind of cool with it, but, you know.
Yeah.
His dad's like, listen, I've been there. She's hot. That's what his dad's saying.
So that's weird. I bet that happens a lot where people are living with someone that they don't want their parents to know because they wouldn't approve of their choice in roommate for whatever reason.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's pretty easy to hide from him generally.
Holiday dinners are a little bit weird, though, you know, because it's like it's quiet, like when you talk about work and...
How's the family? Well, I got to tell you, my girlfriend was giving a lap dance to this dude, and that doesn't fly?
Well, you can't bring him to holiday dinners either, right?
If they don't...
You can.
You can if you'd like it to be a really fun party.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, especially if she's making good money, you can bring a lot of presents. That kind of raises some eyebrows, though, you know, and you personally don't make that much money.
You're trying to buy them off. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, Paul. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 6:54.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on in the world of entertainment?
Oh, lots of things. Many, many things. Things are happening.
Any things you'd like to tell us about?
Nope.
All right.
No, actually, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you guys saw or not, but big news was made in Czechoslovakia.
Hey.
One of their national DJs, a woman named Veronika Negrova, on the radio station there in the Czech town of Plzeň.
Oh, Plzeň's good.
Lost a bet with her fellow DJs, and she had to do her entire show, which is also webcast in the nude.
Oh.
Hey, we should make that kind of bet.
That's what I'm thinking. You're going to make a bet with Lisa or Kat or Nicole Alvarez, somebody, right?
Miss Cleo, yeah.
Jed?
It turns out, if you look at the photo of Veronika Negrova, you're sorry she lost the bet.
Oh. Oh, no.
But I'm saying in our case, you wouldn't be. I'm just saying it's a good trend. Defined in radio, and I think it's a good idea, and we need to do it.
All right.
I'm your girl.
Yeah, Rodney nude would be great.
Yes, it would be.
It'd be outstanding.
I'm a man.
Beatles in the news, Kevin. Beatles in the news.
Yes, I hope it's a
The Beatles are in the news.
I hope they've uncovered a new song.
They have uncovered, Kevin, some never heard before talk between the Beatles as they recorded their Abbey Road record.
Oh, you
conversations about them making the music that no one's ever heard before. The BBC is going to air it,
so it's not
so
singing.
Fly on the wall in the studio.
Exactly,
basically.
Get to hear them discussing the music as they recorded in their Abbey Road studios.
That's fascinating.
Nope,
that's great.
Nope.
Yep.
BBC is working on a Beatles tribute week to go along with the September 9th release, of course, of the Beatles Rock Band video game, which they're predicting will be a sellout.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
And Robert Zemeckis, the director, and Disney Studios have announced they are going to remake the Beatles classic animated feature Yellow Submarine.
Wow, it just doesn't quit.
In 3D. Digital 3D.
I don't even know what that is.
So it's still a Beatles world, man.
Sure is.
I don't think that's a movie that makes sense to remake. It was very much of its time.
It sucked.
It wasn't a good movie either. There's that, too.
Yeah, there's that, too.
I mean, not only was it not a good movie, but it was super 1968. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it was an acid trip on film,
basically. Doesn't translate. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it was about being you know, on a trip, being loaded, right. Being high.
That's weird.
Which in the 60s, it was cool. You know, you'd smoke your reefer, whatever the kids are calling it these days, and you go down there to your local movie house, and you watch The Yellow Submarine.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care.
Just saying.
We
it's an odd choice.
Care. For a don't remake. Care. Don't care. Don't care.
It's just
oh,
weird.
Oh, God. Don't care. Don't
it's a weird
care.
Weird remake choice is what I'm saying. Alicia Silverstone says she has a new hobby, which is gardening in the nude.
Yeah!
No, please.
Alicia Silverstone?
Yes, please.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, yes, please.
Yeah.
Really?
Not absolutely, yes, please. That's on the
Have on you
the
seen her lately?
Like, if it happens, I wouldn't turn away. It's pretty cool, but it's not like I'm
going to walk out. You must not have seen her recently, then.
Yeah,
she's lost a ton of weight, and she looks just she's in amazing shape.
All right.
She says that it started out of necessity. She would be gardening and get so hot she'd have to strip naked to take a dip in her pool.
Delicious.
So now she just gardens in the nude and makes things so much easier.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Alicia.
It's a good trend.
Thank you for being in the nude for us. We appreciate that. Speaking of being in the nude, Kourtney Kardashian says that she is considering stripping down for the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Nope.
Yeah.
And showing off her baby bump.
Oh, she's not the Not the man beast.
Not Chloe. Okay. No, this is Kourtney. This is the one who...
Armenian pride, huh? One day.
She got pregnant from her on-again, off-again boyfriend.
All right.
She wants to pose nude and pregnant on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. Do we need that?
It's been done.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's been done.
Yeah, it's definitely been done.
And usually not to any great success.
Can they crop it from the waist up?
I think that would defeat the purpose.
Oh.
And Goldie Hawn is saying that she loves the relationship her daughter Kate Hudson has with Alex Rodriguez, of course, of the Yankees. She says he's a good influence.
Yeah.
Because he's a strict parent and doesn't let Kate's 5-year-old son, Ryder, make so many of his own choices, which will be great when Alex disappears and Ryder, who's 5, is wondering where Papa Alex went.
Yeah.
And goes into a deep depression.
when he's five in a week.
He starts chasing the dragon and doing the smack.
Like they do at five.
Like they do at five.
Look, she's happy they're dating because she gets free Yankee tickets. Let's face it.
That's pretty much it.
That's the advantage there. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not long for this world.
No.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Demi Lovato from Camp Rock and other Disney projects. 17 years old today. Monique Powell of Save Ferris is 34. Amy Adams, who stars in the successful film Julie and Julia, currently in theaters and was recently in Sunshine Cleaning. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that movie.
It was a great movie.
She's 35 today. Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit is 39. I hope he directs more films. He's quite the auteur tool. James Marsters, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is 47. He's also in Smallville. Today's show weatherman Al Roker. He's 55 years old today. Kevin, why do you hate Al Roker?
I love that guy.
Why
He's
do you
the
hate
best.
Him? I don't understand why
no
you hate him.
No one says the weather
Seems
better
like a
than him.
Perfectly nice guy, Al Roker, yes. Robert Plant, lead singer for a little band called Led Zeppelin, celebrates his 61st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I am going to kill myself. I am going to take my own life. I do not want to live on this planet any longer.
It's been fun.
Thanks, everybody. So long.
What's the problem here? Why are you saying that? Why are you so blue?
The ongoing battle between Psycho Mike and being off the air and in Twitter. They are Twittering, trying to get people to stop following each other, and they're insulting each other on Twitter. And now they're talking about having some kind of a poll where people vote on who has the cutest dog.
Mike shouldn't be allowed to lie and say his dog is cuter than my dog. That's the only point.
Ben shouldn't be able to just go around saying stuff that isn't true, like his dog's
now,
cuter.
Now, everybody that heard my voice knows why I'm going to take it. That conversation's been going on for now a couple days.
Okay, first of all, it just happened yesterday, and the point is this. The beautiful thing about Twitter, I know some people don't like Twitter, some people don't get Twitter, but the thing that I enjoy most about it is it's super. You can be super selective as to who you follow. And if somebody fails to meet your level of expectation for tweets and it's not worth you following anymore, you just dump them. If somebody tweets too much or tweets about too many things that are boring, you just stop following them, and it makes your life good again, right?
Right, right.
So I decided yesterday, because Psycho Mike is Mr. Poo-Poo Pee-Pee, I decided that it was enough. It was one too many tweets about what was going on either end of his pants. I just didn't want to hear about his body functions anymore. So I casually mentioned, Mike, I'm going to have to stop following you because there's too much poo-poo pee-pee. And then he's the one who threw a big tantrum about it as if I'm some evil, evil man because I won't follow him. I don't have an obligation to follow someone whose tweets are offensive or boring.
No, you don't have an obligation.
That's my point. That's
all I'm saying. We're supposed to be brothers.
No. I would suggest with the drivel you write, you should have to follow everyone being.
Thank you. Took the words out of my
mouth. With the meaningless minutia drivel that you write.
I follow Bean because he is my friend, he is my coworker, occasionally will write. He occasionally writes stuff that is very interesting and insightful.
Occasionally.
I agree. Yeah.
One out of every...
And I put up with...
Would you say 20?
No. One out of every 100.
Okay.
Because I put up with the 99 other tweets about Don Geronimo and Roger and Barkley and whatever radio crap and Pluto and the post office and the Bowling Hall of Fame and the hometown of the corn dog and all the other Bean stuff that he tweets about. Okay?
Bean loves the stuff no one else cares about. And that's why Mike was offended. When Bean dropped Mike.
Because I admit,
gross.
No, you stop it, woman. I admit, occasionally I tweet stuff that maybe Bean isn't into, like the pee-pee and poo-poo stuff. I can understand that's not his deal. But that's one or two things that he may not be into when he has to sit here and admit right now that I occasionally will tweet stuff that he is interested in and he will laugh at. Okay? And so it's the bottom line is you
What's
you put
the percentage
up with,
of...
I say my percentage is higher because Bean's volume of tweets is through the roof. I've maybe tweeted 300 times in my life.
Right.
Bean's tweeted tens of thousands.
So you're offended that he would drop you.
I'm offended. I'm personally hurt.
So
now he drew the line in the sand, and it's on. It's on.
So yesterday, Bean said, I'm gonna tweet people to stop following you. And then Mike said, I'm going to tweet people to stop following. And that's what's been going on for 24 hours.
Can I just say for the record now, Justin, I know, again, your policy is you don't want ever to get facts in the way of your opinion. I have never tweeted to get people to stop following Psycho Mike. It's all been the other direction.
I have.
I'm not trying to get anybody to stop following Second Mike, because I think the beauty, again, of Twitter is follow who you want, and if you don't want to follow anymore, then don't.
I'm in a mitt right now. I'm being vengeful.
You should be.
And,
you should.
And
tiny.
I was hurt, and I was. You should. I'm be. Going after him.
Here's an example of how Psycho Mike has turned up the heat. By the way, since the so-called war, I didn't strafe the rice paddies of Nam and three tours to come back and have people follow Bean over me on Twitter. I'm a patriot, not a baby killer. So I think you can tell he's trying to push all the emotional buttons there.
Right.
It's true.
And that's funny. As, by the way, the original one that Mike tweeted that got you to stop following him was one of the funniest things he's ever tweeted.
He's talking about how many times, as an adult, he's pooped himself.
Right, yes. That's funny.
I don't ever want to read that.
But it was a 2-second read.
Gross.
I mean, it's just a phrase, and then it's everything else. How could you?
Okay.
How dare you drop anyone, Bean?
How
dare you drop a soul on this? If somebody tweets, you should be forced to read it.
And you know what? I am very busy, and I can look. You don't want to have to go and sift through tweets you're not interested in to get to the ones you want. You don't.
Oh my God! I'm angry because you follow some of the dumbest, most uninteresting, uninspired people in the world. And for you to say I follow like 8 people,
right?
So I mean, it doesn't really bother me if Bean occasionally will tweet something that I'm not that into,
you know,
because
you do?
I don't have to sift through it. To say that he's got to just jettison me so that he can follow Demi Lovato. And,
I don't
and,
follow Demi Lovato anymore.
Okay. Anymore.
Okay, and Shannon Hochler, who knows all the...
I don't follow her anymore. Hey, I dump people that I lose interest in or that don't deliver. And Psycho Mike, I'm sorry to have to add you to that list. I apologize.
Mike has spent the last 6 years just taking it on the chin. Just taking Bean talks and talks. And bah, 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 world's largest ball of string and all the BS that he's into. Yeah. And Mike plays along and he's like, yeah, that's really interesting, Bean. And he dies a little bit every day.
Yep.
And yet, okay, you're going to drop him for one tweet.
In my defense, Psycho Mike tweeted last night. I can't even read the tweet on the air. It's so offensive. But it involves...
Then I'm in.
It involves a hole in his underwear and what that likely is going to mean later that night with his dog Lola.
Oh.
Now, I don't need to think about that. I don't need the visual. I don't want to go to bed with that on my mind. I just want to remove myself from that universe.
Oh.
Who can blame me? Lisa, you're with me.
Yes, horrible.
I'm going to start following you now.
Oh, God.
I only follow 3 people. I'm going to make it 4. What is Bean tweet about?
Honestly,
yeah.
I'm not trying to pick on the guy. He tweets about his radio friends,
right?
And radio dorkiness.
Mm-hmm.
He tweets about the post office, his dogs, Pluto,
Rachel Nichols,
Pluto and Pluto stuff, and Rachel Nichols.
And let me ask you this: how much does he talk about his dogs?
I would say 1 out of every 5 tweets has to do with his pets, or a picture or a tweet about his pets.
He sends pictures of his pets.
Yeah.
Which I, by the way, would think that Mike would enjoy being a pet lover and being a guy who is crazy about his dogs as I am about mine. That shouldn't be a turnoff to Mike.
Bean, I have to admit, does have pretty cute dogs. His, you know, menagerie of bulldogs.
Right.
So every once in a while to get a picture of him is cool. It doesn't bother me whatsoever.
You get like 10 a day, though?
But to have to hear about...
A couple of weeks, so...
Did you know that WXRK's first year was 1974? You know, like, I don't want to know about the Great Gildersleeve and Bob Hope's. They're now releasing on iTunes some of Bob Hope's original broadcasts. Like,
Bean, all of that stuff in the universe that slips by everybody else is Bean's bread and butter.
Right. And that's the point in that I just look beyond that because Bean's my man. At least I thought. And I said, I'll follow him anyway because occasionally he does have very interesting things to say. So because I look through all that crap that he tweets, and then for him to drop me like that, to drop me so quickly for one tweet that he was not that into.
No, it's been coming for a long time. Mike is also the kind of guy who abuses the Twitter privilege because he really does literally answer the question, what are you doing right now? Like Mike will tweet, getting ready for the Kevin and Bean show.
Yeah.
I don't have any time
for that. Well,
that's
a waste of time, of course.
Of course, it is, right?
Yeah. That's a quarter of 1 second I'll never get back, Mike. What am I going to do without that?
But Bean, if if we were to add up the quarters of seconds that we've spent on your drivel, I'm saying it would be years, not seconds.
My friend Don Geronimo will air his interview from 1984 with George Burns. I don't want to know about that. Like, and like, I'm not exaggerating about the birthplace of the corn dog and the world's greatest, you know? So
look, here's the thing, and this goes far beyond just Mike and me and far beyond just Twitter. Can people be friends in real life and not be online friends? Because I think that's possible. I don't think there's any reason why Mike and I can't still be coworkers and not necessarily be social media butt buddies.
If you don't mind, I'd like to separate the coworkers and friends in real life, because you're not friends in real life with anyone.
I think that it's more an issue of being drawing the line in the scene. It's the principle of him dropping me.
I know.
It's the principle.
I know, and it's BS, because if that line were drawn on Bean, we as a society would have put him to death by now.
That's
true. I'm just saying, and we really have to take a break, because as a matter of fact, we're going to give away some tickets for Epicenter right now. We got a game that you can play next. You get a chance to earn those tickets if you want to see Linkin Park and Tool and all the bands Saturday. You can call 1-800-520-1067. I would just like to say that there's people over here that are into the poo-poo pee-pee, and that's Psycho Mike, and that's Mark Hoppus, and that's Michael Ian Black, and people like that who love the scatological stuff. And then there's people over here who maybe aren't so much into the poo-poo pee-pee, and I think that's okay. I think we can all coexist, but we don't necessarily have to follow each other all the time on that. That's all I'm saying.
My dog Linus is awesome with awesome sauce on top.
Anybody that tweets that should be killed.
Wow.
Right?
That seems extreme.
His dog is awesome with awesome sauce on top of it. Honestly, death sentence.
Well, you can't deny a fact.
But death sentence. Who's with me?
I have listeners emailing Mike that are going to start following you just so they can drop you. How do you like that?
Wow, you are evil. Here's all I'm saying. The dude gets sucked down to the bottom of the swimming pool, and his ass holds him there while he drowns and dies.
Oh, that seems like a bad way to go.
It's not a good way to go at all.
That is the best way to go, and it's in Final Destination 3D. Ralph's got your tickets coming up for the premiere of that on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now it's 728.
This weekend, a huge concert happening out at Pomona. Unbelievably, there are still some tickets available to see Linkin Park in their only 2009 North American appearance. Also, Alice in Chains, Wolf Mother, Hollywood Undead, Atreyu, and Tool. How about that? Tool Live, as you know, is one of the great experiences in rock and roll. And if you'd like to go, you can call 1-800-520-1067 as we ask you to name that Tool.
This new game's called Name That Tool. You'll go see Tool. Name That Tool. Center, name that tool. Guess what you have to do? Name that tool.
Sure hope Maynard doesn't hear that.
Hi, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So, name that tool. Is this like a handyman game or something? Or how's this going to be played?
Bean will be describing for our listeners famous tools. Guys who are tools. Tooly guys. Douchebags, a-holes, tools.
So
all you need to do is to name that tool.
So the answer will be a name of a person.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Yes.
And then if you get it right, you go to the drawer.
So Bean's going to describe a person.
Right.
Okay. And then
it'll be a guy.
Okay. Right.
Not a girl, okay. A guy.
Right.
Who's a tool.
And then
the answer would be the name of that tool.
Okay.
Hence the game, Name That Tool.
Name that tool.
So if you're right, you go to the drawing, and Lisa May at the end will find out who wins the tickets and VIP passes, in fact, at that. How does Omar turn the word tool into two syllables, Mr. Nelson?
Tool.
What's that about?
Who's
our first contestant?
First up is Ricky. He's a plumber, and I bet he smells like zinc.
Hey, Ricky.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, Ricky, did we over-explain the game? Do you know what you're doing here? You're naming a tool, right?
I believe I got it, yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go. This tool first appeared on television in a 2006 documentary entitled Surviving Sextuplets and Twins before he and his soon-to-be ex-wife got their own weekly TV series. Name that tool.
That'll be John from John and Kate Blissett.
That's close enough. John Gosselin.
Sure.
Well done. Hang on, you're in the drawing.
Correct.
All right, you hold on. Thank you.
Yes, that's correct, he told us. We told him Gosselin. He said, yes, that's correct.
Well, I guess we were right.
What did we win? Next up is Elizabeth. She's unemployed. Loser.
Oh, oh come on. That's not fair, Mr. Announcer Man.
Elizabeth.
Hi.
Got your mouth full?
You're unemployed, so you got some free time to go Saturday if you win. So listen up. Here's your question to name that tool. In 2004, French fashion mogul Christian Audichet acquired the license to sell clothing based on the images of his legendary Southern California tattoo artist. Tools have been wearing him ever since. Name that tool.
I don't know.
Mm. It's not I don't know?
I'm sorry. It's Ed Hardy is who we're looking for. Ed Hardy is the tool we wanted this time. Thanks for playing, though. Good luck with the job search.
I feel bad now.
Yeah, because you made fun of her because she didn't have a job.
She has no job and no tickets.
Right. Oh. So now she's got a lot of time on Saturday and nothing to do.
Someone take the sharp instruments away from her.
Who do we have next, Mr. Nelson?
Next up is Adam, I think.
Hi, Adam, I think.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Adam.
This tool's real name is Christopher Sarantakos, but it's his heavenly stage name that appears on the marquee of his critically slammed multi-million-dollar stage show at the Luxor in Las Vegas. Name that tool.
Chris Angel.
That's correct.
You are in the drawing. Well played.
Next up is Isabel. She works in the medical insurance company. She runs a death panel.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Isabel.
Hi.
Hi.
You sound so guilty.
Yeah. Have you, already killed a bunch of people today? Is that what's going on here, Isabel?
No.
All right. No. Listen up. When this tool's crappy band took a crappy hiatus back in 2005, he dabbled in some crappy acting and then in directing crappy movies. Now he's back with guitarist Wes Borland making more crappy music. Please name that tool.
Brett Michaels? Nope. Worse than that.
Not so much acting and directing for Brett Michaels. Fred Durst is who we were looking for this time around, but thanks for trying.
Yeah.
That famous Wes Borland Brett Michaels combo.
I thought that would give it away too, but apparently not.
Right. Next up is Mike. He's a veterinary technician.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hello, Mike.
All right, listen up. Name that tool. Although his bodybuilding morning radio tool is better known by his crazy nickname, his last name is actually Catherwood. How gay is that? Name that tool. Bodybuilding morning radio tool. Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno is what we're looking for. He is famous for being on the radio, and he has a crazy nickname just like Psycho Mike, the correct answer. Sorry about that.
Aww, Mr. Announcer Man, who's there with you laughing?
That's Omar!
Yeah. I didn't realize you had him there.
Yeah, I do.
Do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Okay.
Next up is Melissa. She also works for an insurance company.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Melissa.
Oh, hey, here we go. We have a connection.
All right. So far, I believe only two contestants have made the drawing. Let's see if we can make it three. Listen up to name that tool. Originally a backup dancer for his now ex-wife, this tool now spends all his time babysitting his kids and apparently eating. Name that tool.
Oh, Britney Spears' ex-husband, Kevin Federline.
There you go. Nicely done.
The world's most thorough answer.
All right. So we've got Ricky, we've got Adam, and now we have Melissa. Let's find out who gets VIP tickets for the Epicenter this weekend. Lisa?
The winner's Adam.
Adam?
Adam!
Adam, congratulations.
Hell yeah.
Nicely done. You are going to Epicenter 09.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Thank you for playing. Thank you, Announcer Man.
Thanks for naming that tool.
Name that tool. My
dream. Marcy Playground.
Yes.
All right.
For real.
Finally. Finally.
On the world-famous K-Rock at 20 till 8.
All right, so you know, a lot of people are very. It's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, on a Thursday. A lot of people are very superstitious about numbers, as you know, and especially for some reason, like sevens, people go crazy for, saying they're godly, they're heavenly numbers, they're good luck. Nine is another one that people are excited about. And this year, there's a rare opportunity for people, Kevin, on 9909 to get married at the 99-cent store. Probably
yes!
not something you'd ever think about doing, but why not?
I think a lot of people would go, "That's my first choice."
Exactly.
99-cent store.
Let's find out. what the 99 Cent Store is offering on September 9th this year. We have spokesperson from the chain, Rachel Jacobs, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Rachel, thanks for taking the time. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. 99 Cent Store as a place to get married. Look, I know times are tight and everybody's looking for ways to cut back, but is this taking it too far?
You know what? I think in this economy, we want to show that you can do an elegant, cool, chic wedding without costing a ton of money. Now, I know both of you are married, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, many, many times.
How happy would you be to have all the money that you spent on your weddings in the bank right now in this economy and have spent 99 cents instead? Wouldn't that make you very happy?
That is one of my pet peeves, is that they know they've got, especially the girl, the wedding industry, and they charge you through the nose everything. You end up spending 10 times what you wanted to spend. Now, so it only costs 99 cents total?
It costs 99 cents total, and we were picking 9 lucky couples to get married on this very special day of 99 of 09.
Oh, I thought everyone could do it. You're picking 9?
We're picking 9 lucky couples, and they get to invite 9 guests.
Okay. I sense a theme.
Is there a theme here of some
kind? Wait a second. Hold on. There's a lot of nines here. Come on, Rachel.
That's my favorite number. And the amazing thing is that we're going to do this entire wedding from products from our stores. That's including the food, the beverage, the cake, the decorations.
Really?
And it's phenomenally beautiful. We have actually a really loyal customer from our stores that creates amazing things from products from our stores. And she created this wedding dress and the decor that looks like a Chanel backdrop. It's actually modeled after the Chanel runway show.
Wait, the girls' dresses are coming from there too?
Well, we have one dress that's made, and actually one lucky person gets to wear this dress if she would like, but it's modeled after the Chanel wedding gown from product.
And what's it made out of? Paper napkins or what?
Plastic cup bottoms?
Don't laugh. It is made out of t-shirts, a table runner, artificial white flowers, and then the backdrop, which is the most spectacular thing, is made from coffee filters, paper towels, artificial white flowers.
Wow.
But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You'd be shocked what you could make from products from our stores.
It does sound lovely. Now, what do you have for the reception? It sounds like you guys are pretty much giving the reception to the happy couples that are lucky enough to get married at your store. It doesn't even sound like they have to pay for the food and drink at all, right?
They don't. We're providing the ceremony, a non-denominational minister, the cake, the reception, which will be hors d'oeuvres, refreshments, appetizers, of course, the wedding decor. They can invite, like I mentioned, 9 guests per couple.
Are you going to have the minister behind the cash register and just be checking people out as they go through?
Exactly.
All right, and do you take?
Yeah, he'll take the money at the register. Perfect. Right. I like that.
Hey, let's face it, Rachel, there are people who want to get married and don't because they think they can't afford it or they're hanging on for the ceremony of their dreams. And the reality is, and we've talked about this on this show many times, it's the marriage that's important. It's not the wedding that's important. If you're with the right person, it doesn't matter where you get married. What matters is the minute after you say, I do. This sounds like a fantastic opportunity for people to have something that's fun, that they'll always be able to look back on, that may not have been what they dreamed, but is still something that would be a satisfying day for them.
And now, you know, it's chic to save money. And we've had such a tremendous response. We've received over 3,000 calls. So obviously it's hit a nerve with people.
Sure.
That, you know, they want to save money, but they want to do something cool and fun and also beautiful, you know, most importantly.
Right. Now, I want to see if you're just a spokesperson or if you're actually a real person.
I am actually one of the buyers for the store.
Let me finish my question, please.
Okay.
Do you think that 5 years from now these couples are going to tell people that they got married at the 99 Cent Store?
I would hope so. I think they'd be so proud of all the money they saved.
I would. I think it's hilarious. I love it, by the way. I wish, if I can get a divorce between now and September 9th, I may get married again just so I can do it at the 99 Cent Store. How do you like that?
Well, I think, why don't you come renew your vows with us?
Yes.
No, that's too gay. That's too gay.
And then
I'm sorry.
You can get a watermelon.
Hey, I said when we brought you on, Rachel Jacobs, spokesperson for the 99 Cent Store, we're talking about 9909, where people can get married there. I said when I brought you on that a lot of people are superstitious about numbers. Is 999 considered to be a super lucky day?
It's the luckiest day ever.
Of course.
Well, say,
the right,
what a stupid question.
Yeah. A lot of satanic bands are releasing their album on 999 because it's 666 upside down. I don't,
oh.
I mean, like a lot.
What about
did
that?
You think of that, Rachel?
That's just copying us.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. All right, how do people, I know the deadline is coming up fast. I think you have to apply by, close of business Monday, is that right?
They have actually until August 24th to enter, and we're taking phone calls at 323-881-1247, and they just leave their name, contact info, and why they want to get married at our store, and all the winners are going to be announced August 25th.
Okay, 323-881-1247. It's amazing to me, by the way, that with all the 99-cent store stuff and all the nines, that you can't get a single nine in your phone number. That's weird.
I know. They must have all been taken.
Oh, being so obsessed with numbers.
Rachel, I think it's awesome what you're doing. I can't wait to see more on September 9th. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Amin Show.
Thanks for having us.
Bye now.
Actor BJ Novak joins us on the Kevin Amin Show later on today. He, of course, one of the stars of Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. Look forward to talking to BJ. I'll try not to snicker when I say his name. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. What's going on?
My dog's cuter. No, my dog's cuter.
That?
No, my dog's cuter.
What's happening?
We have to get some weapons.
We do.
We have to start stocking up on weapons.
I agree.
Murder.
The my dog is cuter argument. There's no words.
I hear you, brother.
There's just no words.
I feel your pain in the world.
Well, Mike shouldn't be allowed to lie. That's the only point I'm making.
William Jefferson Clinton, I feel your pain.
Rape.
Oh!
Yeah, wow. You both should have a machete taken to you.
That's correct.
Where? Where?
All over until you stop.
My dog's cuter than your dog.
No, my dog's cuter. No, my dog's cuter. No, you hang up first. No, you. No, you hang up first. I'm still here. No, you hang up. F yourselves.
Guys, just have sex and get over with.
That's for sure. Before I get to the showbiz news, let's give away some tickets, shall we, to the premiere of The Final Destination. Forget Final Destination. This is The Final Destination.
Right.
The final one. This is it.
This is the one.
This is it. This
Unless it's a big hit.
This is it. This is it.
You're saying this is it?
This is it.
All right.
And it's in 3D. So you get to see attractive young people murdered in various fashions in 3D. And that's what you want. The world premiere is August the 27th at the Mann Village Theater in Westwood, California, home of the UCLA Bruins.
Hey!
Go Bruins! It's in August 28th opening for the film, but you'll get to see it before anybody else. I got five pairs of tickets. You want to go? Call right now. 1-800-520-1067. That number again, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through. Get a pair of tickets to see the premiere of The Final Destination. I don't do a lot of radio news because nothing ever happens in radio worth reporting on.
That's correct.
However, I thought this was interesting for various reasons. A lawsuit has been filed by former radio talk show host Tom Likas.
Against?
He is suing another radio talk show host named Brian Whitman, who does a series of podcasts called the Fake Likas Podcasts, in which he impersonates Tom Likas.
Wait, the word fake is in it?
Yep.
Well, how can he sue?
And Tom Likas has sued to get him to take the website down that features the podcast and apparently has succeeded. Those podcasts are now no longer available on that website.
Dominated!
Likas says that he owns the trademarks too, Tom Likas, Likas 101, and Likas, and says that by using his name and the way he was, Brian Whitman was violating Likas' trademark. Tom Likas said, "It is aimed at anybody who would try to pretend to be me. He was interfering with my commerce."
Really?
Unbelievable!
Likas' lawyer sent a cease and desist order to Whitman last month, and it looks like it was effective. The podcast site was taken down, so score one for the fat man. I wonder what Tom's doing these days.
Eating.
Drinking.
I drink wine!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shiraz! Zinfandel. Yeah.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are just better than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
They forked over $4 million that they earned for the first photos of little Shiloh. When they sold those photographs to a tabloid, they made $4 million on the sale. Took all of that money, forked it over to Namibia, the African nation of Namibia.
Okay. Really?
And apparently all that money went straight to local schools. In fact, there was a recent interview with some kids from the Oconimiqua school that said they got $10,000 alone from Angelina and Brad to buy bicycles for the kids there because they live so far away from the school. By the time they would get home walking, it would be nightfall.
Aww.
And they would have to light a fire since they have no electricity in their village to read their books by.
Oh,
one teenager says Imelana Shikongo is her name. She said that now she can use her bike to get to home and back in less than 90 minutes. And when she gets home, there's still daylight, and she can read her her books and do her studies and her homework. And they said it's made an enormous impact in her life, just owning a bicycle.
Unbelievable.
Are they just greasing the wheels so they can just show up there and just take
Have their pick?
Yeah.
Have their pick of the litter?
That, and that. Thank you.
Just get a Namibian to-go bag, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
It is so weird, and I'm glad to hear stories like that every once in a while because, you know, here we are talking about a Twitter fight, and these are people who have to get their reading done before the sun goes down or they have no source of light. I mean, there's a lot of differences in this world. It's not all equal everywhere, that's for sure.
We, Kemosabe, talking about Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the lesser folks are. That's all I'm saying.
Do you get?
My puppy's cuter than your puppy.
Fail. Epic fail.
Kim Kardashian and Reggie Bush may have been reunited, and it feels so good.
Well, that didn't last long.
Apparently, Kim has been staying at Reggie's New Orleans home. And according to E! Online, they're taking things day by day. They love each other very much, and they want to give their relationship another shot.
Glendale!
Do they have a room for Kanye as well, or no?
I don't think Kanye is staying there, no. Okay.
But what about
the stripper?
Yeah.
What about the stripper with the video? I wonder if she's
got a room for her?
Knocking on the door. There's always room for strippers. And J-Lo, for that matter.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
That's the she's almost 18 bell.
Yeah, that's the bike bell. She's all right, that Demi Lovato.
Yeah, she's going to be all right.
Demi Lovato sounds like a dance move in ballet, though, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you do the Grand Plié, then the Demi Lovato, and then off the stage, Swan Lake. 17 years old today. Monique Powell of Save Ferris is 34. Amy Adams celebrates her 35th birthday. Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit, who we honored as one of our tools of the day just earlier. He is 39 years old. Jay Marsters, who played Spike on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is 47 years old. Al Roker, Today Show weatherman, is 55. And Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin celebrates his 61st birthday today. Let's give a whole lot of love to Robert Plant, shall we? How do I do it?
Nice.
Volume. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now we need to spin the wheel because we have too many.
Let's talk more about movies.
Animal stories.
Let's talk about
movies
instead.
And we have a wheel
something
here.
Something that people would enjoy. Versus
and what we do is we read an animal story,
animal voices.
And then we talk to someone that's involved in the story.
Right.
Aren't you embarrassed? Don't you have any shame?
On the wheel is the... Really? You're asking that now?
Yes!
On the wheel
At
is
long
the...
long last, sir, have you no shame.
The Russian dog girl.
Uh-huh.
The suicidal New York City turtles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how have we not talked to the turtles yet? Come on.
The zombie fire ants.
Oh, yeah.
I know you love them.
The Russian dog girl. The attacking Komodo dragon.
Wow, she's on there twice.
The gay German penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. The Argentinian mega colony ants.
I love that.
And the pimpin' chimps.
So pimpin' those... chimps. I saw them at the Troop, by the way. That's awesome.
All right, so you're going to spin that wheel, and whichever one it lands on, that's the one we're going to talk to on the phone.
That's correct.
What if I don't leave the room when you land?
Well, they know what'll answer when we call, I guess.
Yeah, quick bit.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What?
The zombie fire ants.
No!
Sounds like something out of science fiction, but it's too real. This is a true story out of Texas. Fire ants, apparently...
Hey, where'd Ralph go? Doesn't he want to hear the story?
He does not want to hear it, oddly enough. Fire ants apparently are destroying their crops and destroying everything that they hold sacred. So scientists have brought in flies, forid flies, I think is how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And these flies lay their eggs in the ants' colonies.
Yeah.
And then they get inside the ants and they eat away at their brain. And then these ants, which are dead, wander the earth for up to two weeks before their head falls off.
Oh, that's
Hold on a second.
They have no brain, basically? They're just
They're
walking around?
They're wandering aimlessly. They are zombie fire ants.
That's so creepy.
They're attacking ants with flies? That's what's going on in this story?
To control them.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, but do these zombie fire ants, they can they do anything to her? Or do they just kind of, their feet keep moving, but they don't have any intent or purpose? They're not biting or eating or anything like
sure
that? They're
wish
just
I had
wandering?
Any of that information, and I thought what we would do was talk to somebody involved in the story.
Yes, we're calling about the zombie fire ant story. Is this one of the doctors in the article?
Me, zombie ant.
Oh, you're the zombie ant. What's the chances?
Me have small, tiny phone.
We have a good signal.
Thank you.
What service do you use?
AT&T.
All right, good. That's very impressive. All right, so I'll ask you the question that I was just pondering on the air here,
Hold on 1 second. Listen to lame-ass sound effects behind me.
Well, those sound like some of your fellow ants.
What
sounds
is
like,
that?
Sounds like Willy Wonka making chocolate.
Who,
turn that
who's
down.
Who's in charge of the sound effects there at the colony?
Fly named Omar.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So here's my question, if I can hear you at all. And that is, can you think, do you eat, or do you just walk because you're dead upstairs?
We just walk. We totally harmless.
But
this
what?
Worst story ever you do.
No, because the whole thing about zombies, and you guys are taking this very cavalierly, considering it's such a serious story, is that they will bite you and turn you into a zombie.
Not us. We don't do that. We just wander aimlessly for 2 weeks and die.
Well, that's what I thought. It sounds like that they've taken all the danger out of the zombie ant once they're dead
There's
by
no
the fly.
There's no such thing as taking the danger away from the zombie. Look, it's a here's much less interesting story.
Here's the way I'm going to describe it to you, Kevin. If you cut off a chicken's head, the chicken may still flail around on the ground for some period of time, but the chicken can't bite you because the chicken has no head and no beak. It's the same thing with the ants.
The ants have
are
a head.
Dead. Right, but they're dead. They're not thinking. They're not doing anything. Am I right, Mr. Ant?
But that's true of all zombies, Bean.
Bifida is right.
Wow. How did you know all that?
So you don't bite anyone ever?
No.
Well, you're not much of a zombie, are you?
Nope.
That's kind of a letdown.
Why do you make so many zombie noises?
What else am I going to do walking around for 2 weeks?
That's true. And you're not biting anyone.
What am I going to do, blog? With a blog?
You can tweet. You can tweet.
I can't tweet. Oh. No opposable thumb.
Okay. All right. Nothing but trouble for you. I'm sorry.
All right. Good luck. Good luck with all that. All
right. Okay. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, where apparently Kevin would prefer that I get killed rather than make the right choices in my life and remain safe.
That's correct. I mean, no, no, no. How dare you suggest that?
So here's what happens, kids. I come into work the other day and I say, you know, you don't see very many young, attractive women hitchhiking anymore.
Really? Which, ever? I would say ever.
Yeah. No. Not very often. That's for sure.
I don't think I've seen a hitchhiker in 10 years.
Yeah, you don't. You just don't see him around.
It's just not safe anymore to walk along the street and get in a ride from a random stranger. It just seems like it's totally unsafe. So no one does it, especially hot chicks.
Well, where I live in Washington State, hitchhikers are pretty common. And particularly on the island, there are miles of roads with nothing. You know, I mean, it's
hey,
just...
I saw Rambo. You don't have to tell me. I know what it's like up there.
Look, Washington State's the Birkenstock granola capital of the world. You know what I'm saying? Those people are hitchhiking every place.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do see hitchhikers fairly frequently. I never stop and pick them up. I have considered it in the past, particularly if it is especially cold or rainy. I really am tempted, but
well, good.
I still
at least
don't.
You gave it a good long hard think. Right. As you drove past them in the downpour, in the freezing yes. downpour.
At least you felt bad while driving past them.
That's great.
No, I didn't say I felt bad. I just said I'd thought about it before I decided not to. But the other day, I got to be honest, I was pretty close to pulling over because it was a nice, sunny, warm day, and I'm out with Veruca, one of my puppies, and we're driving down the road, and we see this. I mean, she must have been, I don't know, 22 or something like that. Look like a college girl. Very, very pretty.
Right.
And she's walking down the street, and you know, she could see me coming from some distance, and she turned when she heard my car, and she put out her thumb, and she's ready to hitchhike. And, of course, you know, you got a million things going through your mind at that moment. What do you do?
Here's the only thing going through my mind.
You
know why, Kevin? Because you have a penis and testicles.
Yeah,
I have
that.
I have all of those things, whatever it is they do. But what I also have is an acknowledgement that there are many more ways it could go badly than it could go well.
You are a coward, sir.
What? Now, see, I think
wait,
about
how many ways could it go badly?
How many ways could it go well, though? That's what you need to focus on.
I'm saying focus on both.
There's a lot of ways it could go badly. I mean, for starters, she could have a gun. It could be a ruse. She could have somebody in the bushes. When you pull over to let her in, there's some guy who jumps out of the bushes who carjacks you. She could there's lots of
that's
things
it,
to
though.
Go.
You're out now.
You've reached the max.
That's it.
I could let her in the car, and yeah. 30 seconds later, as I'm driving down the road, pass. No?
No. Yeah. Nope, not that.
Pass in the opposite direction a neighbor or friend who then says, why does Bean have a hot 22-year-old in his car? What's that all about? Where's that going? Rumors spread. Phone calls are made.
Are you kidding me?
What the hell?
They would have to know there's nothing going on between you and a hot 22-year-old. There's no way anyone who knows you would say something illicit's going on there. Say, oh, he must be giving her a ride. That's the only thing that would come to their mind.
The last thing I need is a phone call to Donna that says, hey, so who is the woman I saw Bean in the car with? I mean, it's not worth having to then explain, oh, I just picked up a hitchhiker and gave her a ride. It's just not even worth trying to go down that path.
But you guys, if you say that's the last thing that would ever happen, then why is he picking her up? Because it's not going to happen. It's Bean. It's just
right.
Not,
at least you give yourself at least the company of an attractive woman sitting next to you. That's as good as it gets for Bean. Right. How can he pass up that?
Nothing's going to happen, but at least she'll be sitting in the same car with him.
Right.
But
so he doesn't have to read about it. He'll meet an actual hot chick.
But it's all downside for him.
No!
At least for some other
That's
people,
my point.
Maybe
it's all downside.
Something might maybe happen, but not for Bean.
Bean has a hot chick in his car for, a minute. That's huge for him.
He lives on that for the rest
yes.
of his life.
Yeah. And then at least there's another girl in the car that can hold down his skirt as it blows up if there's a wind coming through the window.
All right, let me ask you guys. Take me out of the equation. Kevin, it's you this time.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, you're going down the road and you're in my exact same situation. Do you stop, honestly?
Hey, you
honestly
ride?
Now.
You need
not
a ride?
For comedy. Do you stop and let her in the car?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
for
so.
For reals?
Yeah, I think so.
Me too. I've done it plenty of times.
Ralph?
You have?
Plenty of times. I used to, in the good old days, when I was single, I was driving a convertible. I would pull up to bus stops if there was an attractive girl at the bus stop and offer to drive her wherever she wanted to go.
Wow.
Did it several times.
That would be the opposite of Bean.
to varying degrees of success, but still, it was always fun.
But there wouldn't be any kind of thought in the back of your mind that there's a lot of potential downside from that person or what they may be bringing in.
There's potential downside to everything in the world.
I would think that for 1 second and go, oh, that's not going to happen.
You know what? You got to live life.
I prefer to live in a bubble. How about you, Psycho Mike? What do you do if you're me?
I actually see hitchhikers almost every day over by the beach. Yeah, in Santa Monica and Venice, it's also a big, heavy patchouli, granola, Birkenstock play. And so I see hitchhikers every day, and they're always ugly hippies. If it was a hot chick, I guarantee I'd pull over. And it's just my boner taking over. I wouldn't think about it. I know there's probably downsides, but if I see a hot chick and she's got her thumb up ready for a ride, I just, without thinking, I'd pull over.
And attractive people are rarely evil. It's usually the ugly ones that are evil, I've found.
Especially women.
Yeah, so you can bet on the fact that because
the
she's
odds
attractive.
Of her being hot and evil are very slim.
It's a very small subset of.
Because even Charlize Theron, when she was a murderous hitchhiker hooker, they had to ugly her up because good-looking people don't do evil.
That is
interesting.
We've learned that.
All right,
and to be evil, you have to be a little smart, and most hot chicks are not.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a perfect.
Now we're going there now.
All right, listen, we're going to take calls if you have thoughts on the decision that I made versus what the guys would have had me do. We want to hear about that at 1-800-520-1067. And we also want to hear your stories of hitchhikers, like you've picked them up and what happened, or you've been hitchhiking and something happened. We want to hear what, because let's face it, hitchhiking, not really going on all the time everywhere anymore like it used to.
Let me squeeze in before we take a break. Philip. Hi, Philip.
Hi.
You picked up a hitchhiker?
Yes. I picked one up in Wairika, California, and drove her all the way to Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, wow. You are a saint.
What?
Was she hot?
Must have been.
No, crazy ugly. Also crazy insane.
Well, don't pick those up.
Well, I didn't know she was insane.
But you knew she was ugly.
How did you
get? I thought it was heat stroke at first.
How did you find out that she was
heat
crazy?
Stroke.
Oh, well, the first thing she told me when she got in the car was, I'm not a prostitute. Okay. And my response was,
get out.
Well, I'm not one either.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then she continued on. She passed out at a certain point. And then
and then she became a prostitute.
Uh-huh. No,
gas, grass, or ass. Nobody rides for free.
No, she woke up later and she basically kept telling me about she was shooting down the angels outside the car with the lasers from her eyes.
Yeah. Oh,
awesome.
Wow.
See, that's I would have picked up.
That's great. She was shooting laser beams out of her eyes and hitting angels.
Apparently. I missed them. I didn't see them while she was shooting them.
Wow. That's a James Blunt song.
She also kept saying she was going upstairs. We're in the car this time. She's telling me she's going upstairs. And then she was saying when she gets out of the car, she's going to kill herself. But first she wants to tell her son that she's, loves him or whatever.
All right, you're bumming me out, Philip.
Wow.
It was pretty sad, but story. It was funny.
This is not a good story. It's pathetic, Philip, but it was funny, he said.
Philip, I want to hear.
Before you found out all this stuff about her, though, tell me about the thought process when you came around that corner or down that road and you saw that there was somebody hitchhiking. What went through your mind, and how did you make the decision to stop and give her a ride?
Well, she was clearly a bag lady, and it was like 98 degrees in Wairika, California, and she was out basically in the middle of the desert. And I felt bad. I was like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, you would have had all those angels to deal with had she not shot them down outside your car.
It would have been, buzzing around the car.
Hey, Philip, that's what your trunk is for, by the way. when you get an ugly, smelly bag lady and you want to give her a ride, that's why God invented trunks.
All right. Thank you for the call. Your call's coming up next. We want to hear your hitchhiker stories, or if you have comments about my hot 22-year-old hitchhiker, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you coming up on the Kevin and Bean. We're talking about my decision to not pick up what apparently was a 22-year-old or so hot female hitchhiker the other day. I just thought there were too many downsides. Listen to this Facebook message that we just got. Hey, guys, I was going home around 9 o'clock from my office in downtown L.A., and there was this girl that waved me down when I was at a stoplight. She was across the street from City Hall. She looked like she just came from a club. She said she needed a ride to her house, which was about a mile away. Well, apparently she had just gotten out of jail from a DUI. She even showed me the ticket. So being a nice guy, a horny guy, I gave her a ride home. She hooked me up with some good weed, and then we hooked up after that.
How do you like that?
How's that?
That's what happened to Timo.
And that's what you don't want to happen.
That's what happens when you open your heart.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I feel like I made the right decision, but I want to hear from you guys what your hitchhiking experience has been.
By the way, Bean has driven past that same hot chick twice.
Twice he's passed her.
He had another shot at it.
Now, she wasn't hitchhiking the second time. She's just walking the second time.
But you know she wanted a ride.
How do you mean that?
You know.
Let's try Lucy on line 2, by the way. She's got a story of what can happen if you pick up a hitchhiker. Hey, Lucy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi. Actually, I was hitchhiking.
Yes.
Oh, and,
the hitchhiker. Okay.
So you're the hot young hitchhiker by the side of the road.
Actually, it was me and three of my girlfriends. And we were in
Bonus.
Havasu.
Boing.
You were in Havasu, yes.
Yeah.
We were in Havasu. So we figured there's three of us, no problem if we get in a car with one guy, what's going
to
happen?
Right, you could beat him up if you needed to.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we get in the car, this guy picks us up, and we start driving, and we're like, oh, thanks so much for picking us up. It's so much
How can we ever pay you back, sir?
We don't have any money. Yeah.
Not quite. Oh. It was just really hot out, and we were far from our campsite, so... we're like, oh, how is your day going? And he's like, not so good. I've been,
All right, we don't need any of this, Lucy. Just get to the part.
So he has this shirt on his lap, and he takes it off, and he's completely naked, and he starts pleasuring himself.
Okay, so then what?
Oh, Ralph.
He's not touching them. He's not touching those girls.
No.
Oh, that's
he's in his car just spending some time with himself.
Well, within his
right. That's right. None of your beeswax what he's doing, young lady. Man.
Did you get him to pull over?
We're all not looking at him. Like, we don't know what to do. Nothing like this. We were not expecting that.
Right.
And he asks us, I'm sorry, is this making you uncomfortable?
Oh, listen, this isn't, you guys don't.
You mind if I smoke?
This is cool, right?
So we're like, yeah, kind of. So he puts the shirt back on his lap, but he's still doing it.
All right. Did you get him to pull over and let you out?
Yeah, at that point, we're like, yeah, you can just let us off right here.
Yeah.
And so he looked confused, pulled over, and we got out.
See, it's different, though.
How rude of you, by the way.
It's different, though, being a hot chick.
hitchhiking. I would never do that if I was a hot chick.
No.
Ever.
Well, yeah, but we figured, I mean,
but three of you, of course.
That would happen.
Of course.
Like,
see, this is, but this is why women are no goddamn good. This is what I've been telling you for years. She got a ride and a floor show, yet she's still bitching about it.
Wow.
Oh, hey.
I'm with you, Lucy. You should have gotten out right away.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try, let's try Brandon. He's got a complaint. He's on line three on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brandon, thanks for holding on. What's going on, dude?
Hey, you know what, Bean? I've decided, you're not capable to make the proper decision. And since you're like a Twitter freak, you should live your life as like a choose your own adventure. But instead, you tweet the situation.
I like it.
And we will respond to how you should act on it.
But then you'll have to follow Bean's Twitter.
But
and then you would kill yourself.
All right, I mean, Brandon, let me ask you more to the point. Why do you think I made the wrong decision in not picking the young lady up?
Because this is like the start of a porno that every guy is just waiting to happen. And it happens to you, and you just drive on high like, oh, that
right.
could happen. But yeah.
I think you guys are confusing real life with porn, though.
Sometimes
we're confusing real life with your life. I think that's the problem.
Sometimes, Bean, sometimes they intersect. Sometimes Brandon, they intersect. Sometimes real life and porn come together in a beautiful way.
Thank you for the call.
The bottom line, Bean, is you're right. The chances of that turning into a porno situation are low.
I didn't want it to turn into that situation.
Well,
that's not what I was looking for.
Because I was going to say the chances are even lower if you just drive on by. There's no chance. But you don't
all
want
right.
a chance.
That's, I probably won't hit a home run, so I'll never swing at a baseball.
What about Emily, attorney listening to the Kevin Bean Show, who writes this? Bean, you are totally right. I'm a district attorney and just had a case where a really cute girl pretended to need directions. Then when the man rolled down his window to help her, she pulled a gun on him. Her companion came up to the driver's side, pushed the driver into the backseat, and took them with him. Don't pick up anyone ever, says Emily. How about that?
She's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer.
Lawyers suck. They take the fun out of everything.
There's no upside for lawyers ever. There's only downside.
Oh, one thing bad happened. No one can ever do it again.
Nobody ever do that.
I hate.
All right, let's talk to, can we talk to Travis real quick? He's on line six, and then we're almost out of time. Hey, Travis, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Okay.
Well, you know, I used to always pick up hitchhikers when I'd leave my town where I went to school to go to work, and there's nothing on the road except for a men's colony and a jail. So, you know, they'd always be driving. They hear all these, like, you know, crazy stories about how they get arrested or what they do.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. You would drive through an area where there was only a prison and pick up hitchhikers?
Yeah.
You pick up the dudes.
Aren't there signs alongside those roads that say this is in the area of a prison, don't pick anyone up?
But, you know, you're 21. You want to hear some funny stories. It's 7 in the morning, you know. You know,
were you struggling with your homosexuality at that point, or what exactly were you looking for?
No, you know, like they had to walk like 15 miles to the nearest town, so I'd be like, hey, I'll give this guy a lift, you know, it's the nearest town and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well. But then, you know, somebody was telling me about, you know, a couple years earlier, all these college students were missing, kidnapped, and found dead.
Yeah. But Travis, you know, so Travis.
I'm sorry they didn't get you, Travis, because you're killing me with your story.
You were picking up prisoners. You're really, really forcing bad things to happen. Right? I mean, Bean's not going outside of a women's prison. It's just an island.
All right, thanks for calling.
I wish they had killed him on the car on the road.
Shall we end on a happy note?
Yes,
please.
Please.
Adam in on line four. I think this is going to make everyone feel good about the whole conversation.
Bring it home, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Tell Bean what he's missing out on.
All right, just got in my car, turned it on, and I heard you guys talking about this. I'm like laughing. I'm like, I got a story for them. And I called and I got through.
All right. So, tell us the story.
All right, now we're up to date on how you got to us.
Okay. So I'm driving home to Knott's Berry Farm 8 years ago when I used to work there. And I was driving home and I was driving.
All right, we don't need any of this. Get right to the part that's relevant.
An area where there was clubs. Well, there was two girls that needed a ride. So I'm assuming they just got out of the club. They're drunk. Next thing you know, I'm driving them home.
Good man.
And next thing you know, we're having a threesome.
There
you go.
It does happen, and I'm going to take that to the grave with me and tell all my kids and my grandkids about it.
You're absolutely right.
You're going to tell your grandkids
about
it. You are
a man.
Yes.
Because little kids love stories from your grandpa about their sex life.
They really enjoy it. They're listening whether they like it or not.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat for us on a Thursday. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, the big movie companies don't like it when you Netflix their new movies.
or you go to the Red Box kiosk outside the 7-Eleven there and pop in your buck and take home.
They're not fans of that?
Watching. Not fans of that. They have decided, Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, and Universal have decided that as of October 1st, they will no longer provide the new DVDs to folks like Redbox or Netflix. They're going to wait a month after their release.
A month.
And then you'll be able to put it in your Netflix queue and get it at home for you to watch.
Ralph, haven't there been video stores that make things available for rental the day they go on sale for 30 years?
Yes.
Then what's different now that is causing them to make this new policy?
Don't know.
That perhaps they're cheaper
it's just
now
too
to rent?
All-encompassing. Perhaps Netflix has too many members versus, you know, the
now it's a big problem.
The video stores. I mean, think about it. The video stores have to buy pretty much retail. I mean, I'm sure they get a wholesale cost, but they have to buy the whole packaging and the discs and everything. I don't think Netflix and Redbox do that. Regardless, the movie companies want the folks that are that really want to see those movies. They want them to buy them in the stores so they can get the benefit of all those profits before they turn them over to companies like Netflix that send them out en masse to people at home.
That's disappointing.
Redbox is taking them to court over this decision. So we'll see whether the movie companies will be able to control the supply of their product or not. The courts will have to decide.
See, I mean, I love the Netflix so much. Like, I have I Love You Man arrived this week, which has been out for less than a month on DVD. You're telling me that if this rule goes into effect, I would have to wait even longer in order to be able to get that
movie. That's exactly what I'm telling you.
And I'm going to suggest you'd be all right.
Yeah. You probably could wait 28 days before you see a new movie.
Yeah, probably.
If you wanted to see it so bad, go to the goddamn theater and see it. First of all, if you were all so hot and bothered about it.
I was very busy. Bean
because Bean,
not,
you know,
not picking up
not picking up busy
chargers,
driving
right?
past hot girls.
Right.
Just you and Veruca hitting the road.
Turning down threesomes.
My puppy's cuter than your puppy.
Well, it's true.
You know George Hamilton?
Yeah!
Woo! George Hamilton is a longtime celebrity.
Is he the
not
old?
Really sure why he's famous.
Is he the orange what? Dude?
He yes. is the guy yes. who is pretty much best known for his rich, deep, dark, luxurious suntan.
But he was on Dancing with the Stars a couple years ago, too.
He was.
It's a little orangish. It's
wasn't
not
he?
Just tannish.
Wasn't he, Lisa?
Yes. I think
okay.
so.
I think he was.
He is going public with his love of tanning.
Orange?
And he is trying to encourage more and more people to go out, sit in the sun, and get tan.
Well, it's certainly
yes.
good for you.
Well, Lisa, he says that skin cancer, this skin cancer people talk about, has much more to do with pollution and general poor health than it does exposure to ultraviolet rays.
So,
and you know he's a doctor, so
actors
he should
and
know.
Scientists are
so who are you
going to
believe?
George Hamilton,
because he got tan and he didn't get skin cancer,
right?
So there.
And that's there's proof. New research. George claims that people are getting sick from a lack of vitamin D. Especially children, because they're spending too much time indoors playing their little video games and watching television.
That's true.
See? George Hamilton is right.
I'm not saying there's conclusive evidence, but there are studies recently that
yes, people are having trouble getting enough vitamin D.
The best place to get the nutrient vitamin D naturally is from the sun, people. So guess what? Suntan scare's over. Get out there with the baby oil and lather up and just fry, fry, fry.
No suntan lotion. That's evil.
Oh, don't put any sunblock
right.
on.
Not at all.
No, you
got to
get that good stuff. Get like corn oil or something.
Yeah.
Or,
magnifies the sun.
Pam. That spray Pam is good. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Slather up.
Olive oil, whatever it takes. Didn't you guys once slather lightning?
We did. We did a...
You did one half, you put barbecue sauce on them, didn't you?
Yes.
And the other half was baby oil or something?
We tested about four different things to see what would...
It was, if I remember as a listener, it was Crisco and barbecue sauce.
That could be too.
Yeah, Crisco works.
Yeah, put them right out in the sun.
And that'll get you crispy and you stay moist on the inside.
That's correct.
Which is good.
That's very... It's all true. Science.
And if there's one thing you can take away from today's show, BizBeat, I'd like it to be your parents don't know crap.
All right.
Tom Hanks... He's got a few Oscars in his pocket.
Right.
Well, probably not in his pocket because that would be bulky.
Like,
but he's
too big
the recipient
around.
Of a few Academy
he
Awards.
He might just be happy to see you.
For acting. And he always wanted to be an actor. His father, however, always encouraged him to continue his career at Jack in the Box.
Really?
Tom's dad told him to try to be an assistant manager and then manager at Jack in the Box and make it his career because, in dad's words, any knothead can do that job. That's what Mr. Hanks thought of his son, Tom, that he had to do the job that a knothead could do.
How depressing. His dad thought he was just a knothead.
That's support right there. Wow. That is your parents back in your play.
Look, you're a window licker. This is the best you could do.
This, you should hold on to that menial labor job because you pretty much have topped out.
Yeah.
I wonder if Dad lived to see Tom Hanks in his 3 or 4 Oscar nominations.
I hope so, because I would take those Oscars over to Dad's house and just beat him with them.
That's awesome.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Singer-actress Demi Lovato celebrates her 17th birthday today. Who did she have the famous feud with? Wasn't it Miley Cyrus? Weren't they going back and forth against each other? That's something that should be settled in a mud pit right there.
It was Selena and Demi versus Miley for a minute. Yeah, but they're all good now.
Listen to how much he knows about this.
No, you're not listening to Radio Disney. That's Bean talking about the state of the feud between
Demi, Miley,
and Serena.
You've seen Demi's Camp Rock and Sunny with a Chance, right? Come on.
No.
She's a big star.
If you're
She just had a number one or number two album in America a couple of weeks ago. She's got a lot of fans.
Monique Powell of Save Ferris celebrates her 34th birthday today. Save Ferris no longer together. Am I correct?
That's correct.
That is correct,
That's a shame. I like
that. I'd love to know what Monique is up to these days. If anyone knows, please email me because we're big fans of hers.
Goodbye. I never want to see you again. Goodbye. Remember that song? It was great, that song.
It sure was.
Sure
when they
was.
Did it.
Amy Adams is 35. Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit celebrates his 39th birthday today. Oh, I hope he gets a baseball cap. He'll be so happy to add that to his collection. James Marsters, Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Buffy was a good one, too.
I enjoyed that.
He's 47 years old today. Today's show weatherman Al Roker celebrates 55 years old today. And Robert Plant of the Led Zeppelin band, lead singer for that quartet of rock musicians, celebrates his 61st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Would it be a waste of a time machine to fast forward just 24 hours so I could go see Inglourious Bastards? Would that not be like the best use of that technology?
Probably not.
Would it be okay with you? Because I don't know that I physically can wait until tomorrow to go see this movie. That's my problem with it, Kevin.
Well, you're going to have to. You don't have much choice.
The return of Quentin Tarantino, Inglourious Bastards, is going to be available in theaters everywhere tomorrow. One of the stars of the film, our friend BJ Novak, also known from The Office, of course, back on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, BJ, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, good. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Good to catch up with you. This is a Quentin Tarantino movie, dude, and you're in it.
Yeah, I know. It's it's not what people expect from me.
How did this come about?
Very cool.
Did you go after this? Did you hear about it and go after it, or did they?
I wouldn't even dare go after it. I mean, not that I don't have an ego or confidence or anything, but it's just on another level, you know. Like I just read about it happening online, Brad Pitt and Quentin Tarantino and his long-awaited World War II masterpiece and all that.
And you said,
I wanted a time machine like you. I just wanted to go see it. and then I got a call. He wants to meet, you know, I guess scrawny Jewish actors for it, and you know it's like it's an unlikely series of events. But
you got a call from Quentin Tarantino's people that he wanted to meet with you about being in the movie.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Wow.
See, it's so interesting. Guys like Quentin and Woody Allen is one like this, and there are some other directors who have people in mind that the rest of us maybe it wouldn't automatically come to our minds, but they just see people in roles that they end up being perfect for, and it's just a gift that he has as a casting director.
Yeah, he is a unique thing for that. I mean, Brad Pitt, I think a lot of people forget how funny he is, but if you remember him in True Romance, which Tarantino also wrote,
he was
so funny and cool and just natural, and you don't get to see him be like that in the movies a lot, so he's that way. Mike Myers has like a really quirky, weird little part that's like not comic, but has a sort of a weird light touch to it. There's some amazing French and German actors that, you know, are the most famous actors in their home country. And in this movie, they're just sort of, you know, rounding out the cast, adding color. It's really an amazing work of casting.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about Quentin Tarantino. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, when he cast Travolta in Pulp Fiction to go back a number of years, I'm sure they're like, what the heck are you talking about? This actor that you're talking about, what's his last name? Is it Waltz? Is that the guy?
Yeah, Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, yeah. He hadn't done a movie in English in 8 years, Kevin. But Quentin Tarantino said, I love this guy. I'm going to put him in this movie. And apparently he just steals the thing. Apparently he's just tremendous.
Yeah,
now, the film is in
movie.
Yeah, and the film is in 4 languages, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't
it
sound...
It feels like English, and you know, a friend of mine said something interesting, that it used to be that subtitles would be the death of a movie, but now it actually seems, in a weird way, sort of young and current, because people are always texting and emailing and on their computers while they're watching television.
Right, but the subtitles don't say LOL.
Or they're watching the CNN news crawl. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you're just used to just tons of information coming.
Yeah, that's true.
To see a scene going on, like a gun battle, and then people sort of outsmarting each other in French and German, and that's written on the screen, I'm telling you, it actually feels kind of young and fresh.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Sort of hey, let me ask you this. I don't know what it was like. You filmed a lot of the movie in Germany, right, BJ?
The whole thing, yeah.
Oh, the whole thing. Okay. I don't know what it was like, but were you able to get away from the crazy, like, paparazzi and stuff that seems to follow Brad Pitt everywhere, or was that kind of a constant nagging intrusion on the set?
They put so much security just to protect him, I think, from that stuff, that once he actually got on set, you forgot he was Brad Pitt.
Really? No. That's saying something.
And when he's not around, no one was interested in Ryan the Temp. So there was not too much of a distraction for me in Germany.
They weren't trying to crawl over Brad Pitt to get to you?
Yeah. Now, control.
Let me ask you this. Not only as a very, very talented writer and a good actor, but also as a fan of both of these guys, were you really able, was there ever a time where you relaxed enough on the set where you forgot that, hey, that's Quentin Tarantino directing me, and hey, that's Brad Pitt I'm in the scene with? At some point, did it just turn into another day at work?
I never forgot, but there was one time when I was able to relax, and I remember specifically thinking, I'm never going to enjoy myself this much in a movie again without being nervous. There was a scene where there's a part of the movie where Brad Pitt and I get kidnapped together.
Right.
And we're in the back of a truck, and we're handcuffed, and there's hoods over our heads and everything. And usually before a big scene, I can't enjoy it because I'm really focused on what if I mess it up or something.
Right.
But I realize I have no lines in the scene. I'm handcuffed. There's a bag over my head. There's literally no way I can mess this scene up. So it's this beautiful night in Germany, in this like little village made up to look like an old French town, and Brad Pitt is in a tuxedo, and Quentin Tarantino is in like a leather jacket discussing shots with the DP. And I was like, this is it. This is never going to get more glamorous or easier. Throw me in a truck. I could not mess up the scene if I tried.
But you're telling me the highlight of your movie life so far is having a bag over your head.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. That's acceptable.
We are talking to BJ Novak. He's one of the stars of Inglourious Basterds, opens everywhere tomorrow. Tell us about your character, and then I think we've got a scene from the movie we're going to play, because we're trying to bring that back to radio, BJ.
Absolutely. I'll try to paint a visual picture. It's a small part. It's one of the soldiers that Brad Pitt recruits as part of his avenging gang of soldiers behind enemy lines in World War II. And they have different nicknames. Brad Pitt's Aldo the Apache, because he scalps soldiers. That's his reputation in Germany.
Right.
Eli Roth plays a guy known as the Bear Jew. He's huge and imposing, beats people to death with a baseball bat. My character is doing his best over there. He does not know that his nickname behind enemy lines is the Little Man.
The Little Man.
I think he thinks this is a chance to be tough. So, again, it's a small part. You just kind of catch glimpses of everybody, and you pick up their stories along the way.
So you're the Jew hunter. I'm a detective. Finding people is my specialty, so naturally I worked for the Nazis finding people, and yes, some of them were Jews, but Jew Hunter? Just a name that stuck.
Well, you do have to admit, it is catchy.
Do you control the nicknames your enemies bestow on you? Aldo the Apache and the Little Man?
The German's nickname for me is the Little Man.
And as if to make my point, I'm a little surprised how tall you were in real life. When you're a little fella, but not circus midget little.
Hey, what's it like as an actor to read Quentin Tarantino's words? Is it easy, or does he write tough, complex dialogue to get out?
No, it's the easiest thing, because it you don't even have to spend any time memorizing it. You read it once, and it's in your head forever.
Really?
Wow.
It's really exciting.
Because it always seemed to me like that's what I wish I could talk like, but can't.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He talks like that a little bit.
Yeah, he's a genius that way.
He's a storyteller, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's always an event at the theater when Quentin Tarantino comes out with a new movie. If he's got anything to do with a movie, even if he's just executive producing, it's worth going to see. And this one looks phenomenal.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, it's film history, no matter what he does.
Yeah, and he's got such unbelievable taste in everything. The music is always so great in his movies. The cinematography, the screenplay, obviously. The guy's tremendous. We can't wait for Inglourious Basterds. Opens up everywhere tomorrow. BJ, I know we'll be talking to you again soon. The Office returns on NBC September the 17th. It's always great to catch up with you on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Our old friend Dave, the King of Mexico, has joined us. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Kevin has a surprise for you.
Dave doesn't know about this. All right. He took my audio recorder to New York so that he could interview the cast for Step Up 3.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Step Up 3 Dave, you mean.
Step Up 3D, which Dave is a star of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he gave me the machine back, and it still had all the audio on it. So I listened to it, and I'm telling you guys that we have more problems than we think with Dave King of Mexico.
Really? What are you talking
Why?
About?
What do you mean?
All right, this is the beginning.
Wait, hold on.
He takes the little recorder thing that I give him, and he makes sure that everything's set up properly.
Hey, what's up? It's Dave. Just testing this out. Check 1, 2. All right, I'm done.
All right, he's done. So that's it. That's the test. Okay. The audio test is now finished, and he's going to start talking to the cast.
Okay.
Now I would like you to listen to the volume. Listen to the volume on Dave's voice, and then listen to the volume of the person that he is apparently supposedly talking to.
Hey, it's Dave, the King of Mexico, and I'm here on the set of Step Up 3D. What up? And I'm here with a co-star, Twitch. Hey, Twitch, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
So, I understand that you were a finalist in So You Think You Can Dance?
I was a finalist on So You Think You Can Dance. I was actually runner-up. So.
What happened?
Well, I mean, I guess I just went the entire way through, and
why? How come?
That second,
why don't you? How come he can't have a microphone?
Way to go, America!
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, hey, listen.
Hey, way to go, America!
Listen.
What about how come
listen,
he can't have
listen
a microphone?
To me.
We couldn't
listen to
we
me.
We couldn't hear him.
You listen to me. That was my very first interview with your machine that I was unfamiliar with.
Right.
So. I was testing it out.
You can see levels on it. It shows what the levels
I can't
are.
When I'm talking into it and, you know.
All right, but at least.
Because there was no microphone attached. It's just a recorder.
Right, with a pretty good microphone on it. So,
yeah.
So at least you got it figured out by the time you talked to Ellison Stoner.
I'm here with Ellison Stoner, who's. This isn't her first time in Step Up, the Step Up world. Ellison, what was your role before?
Cut off. It stopped right there.
It stopped?
Yep.
It just ended?
Did he hit stop?
Oh.
It just stopped. There's no...
Was there an interview with
I don't
that
know.
Person?
Okay, now
here's... It's like in four different files, but, you
nope.
know.
Here's the second question that he asks her.
Allison, you also want to get into music, right?
Yes.
I wonder if I talk like this. Check. 1, 2.
Another check. All right.
All right, Dave, the King of Mexico. Back on the set of Step Up 3D.
All right, now he's got it figured out, though. Now he's got the volume thing figured out, so he's going to do some hard-hitting interviews.
I'm here with the star, Adam Savani. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
You are the chosen one. How does it feel that you were chosen from the second movie to...
How does it feel to not be chosen by me to have a microphone?
Make the third movie about. All right, I'm here with the... All right, I'm here with another star from the movie, A Step Up 3D, Rick Malambre. How's it going, man?
What's going on?
Come on.
Channing Tatum.
Fooling with that, Kevin.
Robert Hoffman. Now you.
Oh, come on. I'm not fooling with this. This is
Are
what
you sure?
was recorded by Dave, the King of Mexico.
How could you do that if you tried? How could you get the people that far away from the mic that Dave's standing in front of?
It is like he held the microphone as far away from them as is humanly possible.
It's so funny because I know that we asked Dave to get some interviews when he went out there to film his cameo. And then I can't remember what he told us, but we got the impression there weren't any. I guess now we know why.
We're saving these.
We're saving them for when. You know,
right, for when the movie comes out.
Because they're hard-hitting interviews.
Then we can bring this.
All right, I'm here with another star from the movie, A Step Up 3D, Rick Malambre. How's it going, man?
What's going on?
Channing Tatum, Robert Hoffman, now you. How do you feel to be in line of the chosen ones that, you know, are going to be the breakout stars of this movie?
It stopped. Then that happened.
All right, I'm here with Sharni Vinson.
And there's that.
Who's a female lead in Step Up 3D. Hi, Sharni. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, that's not an American accent. Where are you from?
Australia.
We're like an Twittering.
What's happening?
What? All right,
what
happened so there's
that?
Scorsese,
the
there's Spielberg, and there's John Chu. I'm here with the director of Step Up 3D, John Chu, man. How's it going?
I'm good. You know I'm not John Woo, right?
No, John Chu. I know who you are, my friend.
come the guests can't have the microphone? That's what I'm here to ask.
You know, I'm on set, man. It's loud. No headphones.
Wow.
It's, but no headphones, new machine, first time using it. Come on.
Right, but
trial and error.
Like Bean says, you couldn't mic them that poorly if that was your task.
There was no mic.
If somebody paid,
there was no mic.
There was a mic close to your mouth.
There's just me.
Right.
And me talking.
Right.
To people I enjoy talking to.
Right. But what we were hoping for on this end was that we could hear the answers of the people that you were talking to, not just your questions.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
No. Dave, the king of Mexico.
That's right. That's right.
Period. Dave.
That's
I've been
right.
saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Dave, the king of Mexico.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Every morning at this time, Ralph Garman comes in with our final look at what's going on in the world. Oh, Hollywood, what you got for us?
Well, I don't know if you're catching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire last night. They brought it back for the 10th anniversary. Can you believe it's been 10 years since that show's been on the air?
No, I can't.
So Regis is back hosting again. And last night it really was a battle of the titans.
Yeah.
Two guys who probably know each other. They probably hang out all the time. Regis Philbin and Snoop.
Well, they run in the same circles.
I think I saw them in the grotto once at the mansion.
Really?
Over at the Hefner's place. I think they were token up in the grotto.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I'm guessing not.
Pass me that bowl! Regis was saying to Snoop. Anyway, they give a celebrity a chance to come on at the end of the show to answer a question. And if they get it correct, they get $50,000 for their favorite charity.
Right.
So Snoop was raising money for his football league. You know, he's got an inner city football league where he tries to get kids away from drugs and gangs and get them into organized sports and give them a shot. So here's a little taste of Snoop and Regis last night on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
One of the great hip-hop artists and international icons is Snoop Dogg. Snoop, it's good to see you again.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure.
Feeling good, strong?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. is your uncle here tonight? Who is that?
That's one of my nephews.
Yeah, yeah.
I like those pair of glasses, too.
Yeah, they play it.
Very. Very sharp, Snoop.
You guys think Regis has any idea what he's talking about?
Ah, the shop, Snoop. Love those glasses.
So if you're ready, Snoop, we're going to go for it right now?
I stay ready, so I ain't got to get ready.
Okay, fine. Well, let's play billionaire with Snoop Dogg.
So he sits down and he asks him his question.
In the 2009 superhero film Watchmen, which character's costume fittingly includes a mask decorated with ink blots? The comedian, Dr. Manhattan, Night Owl, or Rorschach?
Man, I seen that movie, too, and I fell asleep on it.
Wonder why, Snoop. I wonder why.
Wonder why you're so tired all the time.
You know, Snoop just said, let's get baked and go see Watchmen, which ran about 8 hours, I think, in theaters. So
he didn't know the answer, but the audience helped him, and he got it, and he got $50,000.
Yeah. Rorschach.
Doesn't it seem like Rorschach. The kind of answer you could figure out if you've never seen the movie, just based on the... I mean, the giveaway is in the name, right?
The famous Rorschach test is where they make you look at ink blots.
Sure.
Right? So, fittingly... Sure. It's all there. It's all right there.
Snoop fell asleep, though, in the movie.
He probably fell asleep on Millionaire last night, too.
He's the best.
Of course, we couldn't get one of our listeners to guess the answer Psycho Mike today, by
That's
the
true.
Way.
No,
Ferrigno.
That's
good. They said Lou Ferrigno was the answer.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson's brothers are getting their own reality show.
Yeah.
It's about time. Wait, why?
A&E has filmed a one-hour pilot of the Jacksons, and apparently the show has been given a green light, the remaining episodes are starting to air soon. Hollywood Reporter says the show will be about the Jackson brothers grappling with Michael's death.
Good times.
As well as living their own lives.
Yeah, all right. Hey, remember that? Yeah, that sucked.
Remember Michael, our brother? I sure miss him. Who's got the money? That's going to be the first episode. So I'm looking forward to seeing Randy and
Phil,
Kevin and Louie and
Peter,
Brandon,
Jesse,
Carl.
Bo.
All the other Jacksons.
Bo,
of course.
Sorry, miss.
Speaking of reality television, Courtney Cox. Nope. Courtney Kardashian.
Very different.
Very different. She is the newly pregnant reality star from E! Entertainment Television's Khloe and Courtney Take on Every Dude in Miami.
Armenian Pride, huh? Glendale.
I'm not sure that's the name. Something like that.
She said she'd be open to stripping down for the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, showing off her pregnant baby belly in the nude.
Is that the part people want to see?
Look, for some reason, Americans are fascinated. Maybe, I guess it's worldwide. Fascinated with pregnant celebrities. They will follow. Kourtney Kardashian will get attention like she's never seen before because she is carrying a baby. Yeah. They will follow every step of the process. And then they'll be bidding on the photos for the first baby pictures when she has a baby.
Well, regular people can't have babies, Ralph.
That's true.
Remember that. I mean, it is sacred and special to just celebrities.
It is the elite class. ABC has announced they are adding three new stars to Scrubs. You know, they're bringing Scrubs back.
Right.
And a lot of the original cast has already moved on
right.
to new projects. So they're bringing in three new stars, and they're going to shift the focus of the show to medical school this season. So no word yet on who those stars will be, but we're going to
So Jack Splatt is gone, right?
Zach Braff. Yeah.
Right.
I think
he's gone.
Yeah. I think Zach Braff is gone. Although he may make a few appearances throughout the season.
So it's not going to be at the hospital? It's going to be school?
I don't know exactly how they're splitting it up, but the focus, they said, will be on a medical school. So I guess they can cast some younger actors playing med students, and that's how they're going to carry on. Because originally, the first incarnation of Scrubs was brand new doctors doing their residency at the hospital.
Same writers?
I believe it is the
awesome.
same cast.
That's good.
I mean, it's in the cast of writers and directors and producers. And they do a great job. It's a very funny show.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Looking forward to it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress-singer Demi Lovato. My favorite Italian meal, by the way, the Demi Lovato. I had it over at a place called Amalfi
if
over
they
on
make
La Brea.
It, right.
Oh, you get the Demi Lovato with the rigatoni. Oh, man.
I like mine with pesto. I put a little pesto on
pesto
mine.
Is good, too.
Terrific.
She is 17 years old today. Amy Adams, very talented actress, is 35. Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit is 39. James Marsters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is 47 years old today. That guy looks pretty good for 47.
He does, yeah.
I guess because he's a vampire, he doesn't age, right?
Mm.
That's what I'm figuring.
It's true.
Today's show, weatherman Al Roker is 55. Robert Plant, lead singer of Led Zeppelin, celebrates his 61st birthday. And our pal Monique Powell used to be the lead singer for a band called Save Ferris, very popular band. We used to play a bunch here on the station. She is 34 years old, and we were mentioning earlier today, whatever happened to Monique? Turns out she is a lead singer for a brand new band called The Mojo Wire that is headquartered here in Los Angeles and apparently perform quite a bit around town. So
all right.
That's our answer. Monique's singing for The Mojo Wire. She's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. Is it possible to get addicted to video games like World of Warcraft?
Not bad.
Is it possible to physically be addicted? Plus, Adam Carolla in the studio this week in Rage. Rainn Wilson on the program tomorrow.
He's the best.
Movie beat. And a little director by the name of James Cameron.
Tack.
What's he ever done?
Talking about Avatar, his new movie, which is going to be fantastic. So that's tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away, though, because Cat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop. K-Rock, why would you want to leave? I mean, when you think about it, the likelihood is you stick around for The Offspring, you get your cake, you get new Alice in Chains, The Killers, Apocalyptica, Gorillaz, and more next on K-Rock.